Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Always working to serve the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. Yeehaw! All rise for King Shazaz the Terrible. Yeah. Anyway, so yesterday I did a live stream on YouTube for try to get people an idea of what I was going to be doing with this channel and the website, and try to promote the radio show and try to get people to come over here and talk. And I just want to share a comment or two with you. But don't panic, I'm not letting it get me down or anything like that. It's just kind of frustrating. But I spent quite a long time explaining to people why it is that I believe that alternative energy is having such a hard time. Keep in mind, I'm fully aware that there's a lot of government trolls out there that go around and they try to discourage everybody from doing things to try to bring people together. But I think I spent a long time and pretty respectful trying to ask people about gathering together and working on projects. But just one comment. A person that says, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Is a, I guess that's their screen name on there. Said, unsub, 2 hours and 40 minutes of banter. You and Joe Newman are the same in love with your own opinion. You don't show a, I'm going to bleep that out, thing. No wonder us free energy researchers are at a loss. 99.9% fakes, then the 0.1% won't show jack. But best of luck. Been a subscriber for 2 years here. Big waste of time. And I responded and said, sorry you feel that way. Take care, my friend. And his second comment, actually, before I actually even commented, his second comment on the same day says, I'm not trying to troll you, but come on, man. Get to the point. You talk in circles. We all know the game is rigged. I tried to contact you a few times to bounce ideas off you, but not a word. And so I simply responded, Skype, user Shaziz. I think I've made myself pretty accessible, you know, and I've invited everybody on my YouTube channel to come on here on the Shaziz Radio on Mad Science, or even the Knights of the Round Table for that matter, to share their ideas and opinions. Now, granted, my show is probably not the right time for everybody in the world. You know, it's 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. And so, with that said, you know, some people will have to be at work. Some people are asleep during the time when I'm actually doing my show. But in my defense, I put up a super chat room where there's place where you can actually drop a comment down for me to be able to see. So, I feel like that if this person was ever the website and dropped a message, that eventually I would actually see that message. More than likely I'd see it in the chat room, because I'm always in the chat room, you know, during the shows and stuff like that. So I made myself pretty accessible. Plus, I got Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of jazz. I don't really go on Facebook very much other than to let everybody know this is show ready. And as far as my doggone email address, it's so crammed up with spam that it's ridiculous and it's hard to find anything. But I always scan every bit of the email to see if I can see anybody's trying to get a hold of me and that kind of stuff like that. Of course, I probably don't check it as frequently as I could. However, if you ever want to contact me, you know, you can get a hold of me on Skype and add me as a contact and just actually call me up and talk to me in person. That would be the easiest go. And so, you know, there's really no excuse to not be able to get a hold of me if you can't get a hold of me. I don't understand that. I mean, just leave a message in the chat room with the super chat, or call me up on Skype, or, you know, even put a message out there on the Facebook or something like that. Write it all in caps so that I know you're urgently trying to talk to me. But, you know, I've been unsubbed so many times, it's ridiculous. And it's the thing I guess people haven't understood was that I'm not trying to be a YouTube star. I'm not trying to be an internet star. I'm just basically trying to share information with people and help everyone out to do things, to better our world. That's the only purpose for all of this deal right here. Otherwise, you know, I don't even need to be here, you know? what's the point of even doing a radio show or even, you know, wasting my time talking about free energy? If I was out there trying to scam people or asking you for money all day long, then you'd have some sort of justification for thinking that, you know, all I'm doing is trolling people or wasting people's time. But go back and listen to all the podcasts and all the information that was presented. You don't hear me saying that. You don't hear me asking for anything or even support outside of just sharing links with the website. You know, I would like to be able to get people to the Shaziz Radio website and actually be able to have conversations with them. That's why I put it together. You know? But, you know, every once in a while, actually quite more frequently than I'd like, I get comments like this that, at, you know, at first, you know, I find it discouraging because I spent, you know, basically a three-hour show and a live stream trying to talk to people to explain to them why things are going down the way they are as far as, you know, why it is I don't want to post videos on YouTube because of the way that, you know, A, you're treated by YouTube or Google or even by people that just don't want to, you know, be polite on there. You know, I've been called just about everything under the sun. I don't understand why people want to be so hateful if they actually want something from you, because that's a good way to shut you down right out of the gate. My whole purpose of my YouTube channel was open dialogue to people, to get people thinking outside the box, to question what is possible and what isn't possible. And so the show that I did was to explain to people, you know, hey, I got this live stream going on, I got the radio show going on, these are the projects I'm working on, this is what slows us down as far as the way that people are out there faking free energy devices. And if you go back and listen to all the things that I talked about on my Mad Science show, I told people what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, why I'm doing it, you know, why it is that I think that high voltage is the way to go at, you know, different frequency range than we're actually running as far as moving energy around and storing it where you need to be. And the fact that I'm actually showing things that you can actually buy right off the store shelf. The projects that take me longer are projects that, like this generator system that I'm custom building, so that people can actually see inside this thing and I can explain it in graphic detail so that even somebody that doesn't have a really, you know, mechanical or electrical or whatever mindset can still understand what's actually occurring in this generator, why it is that I'm saying that by using energy differently that we could actually, you know, benefit by saving energy and making our appliances last longer and such. So I'm not trying to, you know, intentionally misguide anyone with any type of terminology or, you know, any kind of deception or anything like that. If I was, I mean, heck, I could put this together in 5 minutes with a box and, you know, you can't see inside of it, and you just have to trust me that it's doing what I'm saying I'm doing. So it'd be a lot easier for me. I could just slap this together, you know, and I can throw an explanation out, then it's up to you to try to replicate it and then, you know, come back with a whatever, you know, did it work for you or didn't it work for you kind of thing. But no, I want everyone to be able to benefit from it, so I'm actually taking the extra steps of making these things so that you can see the workings, the inner workings of it. When I'm explaining it to you, you'll understand what it is that I'm talking about. And for a more understanding of my YouTube channel, if you go onto my YouTube channel and you actually read the description and you see a question mark after the description of what the video's about, then that's me asking you a question. What are your thoughts on this? What do you think, that is this possible or is this not possible? I'm not trying to make any extraordinary claims or anything like that. Just trying to ask you to see where you are in the box. Are you in the box? You got 1 foot out of the box? Are you completely out of the box? Are you thinking for yourself? Because the ultimate goal of my YouTube channel was to find more people like me. People that are willing to test science. People that are willing to step outside of the norm of what you're constantly told you have to believe and see how far that we can go together to achieve things. That was the purpose of the deal, to find more people like me. So unfortunately, and I still love this individual that said, you know, hey, I tried to get a hold of you and I can't, you know, I give them my Skype name, so anytime they want, if they want to go the extra distance, they can download Skype and call me up and we'll talk and work things out. And, you know, as far as the chat room, you can get a hold of me in the chat room. I mean, Steven has no problem talking to me in there, and Angeling and everybody over there, and the people for people have no problem getting a hold of me. You know, sometimes I get distracted and I don't see comments quickly, but, you know, that's part of what we do here. There's a lot of people that we're trying to talk to. But anyway, that's just a basic explanation of what started my day off. It's just a little tiny sample of what I deal with on a regular basis trying to share information with people. So I hope that people out there don't feel that way as far as, you know, we're trying to share information and you think that it's just my opinion that I care about and that kind of thing, because it isn't, you know. I back my opinions up with everything that I need. It's not that I love my own opinion. You know, I see things, I explain to them the way that I see them. That's the simple of it, you know. And if I can explain it to you in simplicity, but it doesn't necessarily jive with the modern terminology, like if you're an electronics engineer or a plumber or any major trade out there and you got a specific type of terminology that you're accustomed to hearing, scientific words or whatever like that, you know, it's like talking to a doctor. You know, doctors actually even write in Latin so that you know, they can shorten up their they don't have to write a big old giant book every time they do something, and they just shorten up the message and they can understand it and other doctors can understand it, and they communicate that way. But if I tried to write the same type of letter to a doctor using my type of terminology, they're not going to understand what it is I'm talking about. Nine times out of ten, they're not even going to bother reading through everything I have to say. They'll just grasp the first words that rings the bell or triggers them, and they'll go off in a different direction. This guy's an idiot, don't know what he's talking about, and so on down the line. So this is something that I've had to contend with ever since I started doing the Mad Science Show and my YouTube channel to try to explain to people what it is that I'm seeing mechanically, that I'm trying to explain to them on how we can do things differently to be more efficient. So that's it. But basically, you know, I was apparently on a 2-minute banter, or 2 hour and 40 minute banter. So basically I said a whole lot of nothing in a whole long time, and basically it's kind of ironic though, because during the live stream there's actually a chat room right there, and I had one individual that was constantly putting messages in the chat room, which I don't mind, you know. When you're trying to deliver a message and read a whole bunch of messages down the line, it's hard to keep up with that. So, you know, here on the Knights of the Round Table, we actually kind of look out for each other. There's a comment in the chat room, one of them to see it, that somebody didn't see it, and then we can address it and so on down the line. But when you're doing this solo, when you're doing duct tape and baling wire and you're trying to run a radio show and a live stream at the same time, plus watch all the you know, the equipment to make sure that everything's transmitting and doing what it is, it gets kind of distracting for one individual. So I apologize if I missed something, that I could have had a communication with this particular individual, and I'm sorry they unsubbed me, but it's the way life goes, you know. You know, things have been different, you call me up on Skype, we have a conversation. But anyway, that's just something I wanted to share with everybody before we actually get into what today's show is about, because I've unsubbed a few things in my life too. You know, I get frustrated because when you read the news out there, it seems to be all bad news, and it gets depressing, it gets frustrating, it gets aggravating that over and over again, you don't seem to get any kind of things done. Now, there are things going in behind the scenes that if the word coming down the pipe is correct, then, you know, there's actually people going to be having to pay, you know, price for criminal activity that they've been involved in, and we're actually possibly going to see a little bit of justice. You know, meanwhile, you got these crazy individuals, you know, in the Senate and the Congress always trying to do everything that they can, you know, talking about impeachment and everything under the sun, and all of these things, put them all on the table at the same time, because we're looking at it all, folks. We're not just looking at one individual story. We're looking at world events as they unfold before our very eyes, and we're trying to sort through it to see what's happening, the deep state thing going on. And so sometimes it could be something like what Barbara said, the deep state's in a panic, so they're sending their trolls and their paid agitators out onto social media to try to discourage people like us from trying to get people like you and everybody else all together, you know, and start doing positive things in the world. That's what I want to see, positive, you know, outcome out of this thing here. Otherwise, all of what we've talked about for all these years was, you know, all for naught, because we talked about solutions, we talked about ways that we can fix our world, but if we're just going to fall down to all the, you know, craziness and just give up, then, you know, it was pointless for us to waste all these years doing this. Now, I'm sorry this individual felt like I wasted 2 years of their life, but, you know, if I'm going to have to ask the question, did they work on a project that they wanted me to see? Did they take the time to even test anything that I shared with them? You know, what was the actual beef? Or was it just like, you know, Stevens, that probably just a doggone troll trying to get me down? Well, you know, I've had the times when they actually did get me down. So they're really good at what they do, folks. The government paid protesters and so on. They're good at what they do. So anyway, I'm not here alone. Let's say hi to Barbara. How you doing, lady?
Well, hey. Good morning. Hey, everybody out there in People for People Land and out in the world, wherever you are. I'm just kind of smiling here to myself, listening to you spend, I don't know, what was it, 20 minutes on defending yourself. You know how I am about that.
Yeah.
You don't have to defend yourself. So this person spent 2 years listening to you and then finally drops these bombs on you. Why did they spend 2 years if they're not happy? You know, I'm just saying, you expend a lot of time defending yourself to people who don't even able to hear you anyway to begin with, and who are just cranky people or snarky people or trolls or whatever, or they're paid shills. You know, it's not really, I don't know, it just doesn't serve any purpose.
Well, I never thought of it like that, Barbara. You're right. If I was listening to somebody, I wouldn't spend a whole 2 years if I wasn't seeing some sort of results.
You think? I'm just saying, it's kind of like interesting to me. Yeah, I wouldn't have wasted my time on defending myself or who you are or what you're doing. You have more people really grateful and interested in you and what you're doing and know who you really truly are. And one person pops up and just trolls you, you know, relentlessly and being nasty, telling you you're worthless and all that. Well, you were told that when you were little. You got through that. Didn't do a darn thing to stop you in your tracks. And, yeah, you stopped defending yourself a long time ago about what you're doing and who you truly know you are. I learned that a long time ago. First of all, here's what happens. If somebody attacks you or, you know, says some things about you, I've learned to say, okay, let me just check in. Let me check in, not out. Let me check in and see if what this person is saying is true, in anywhere in my inner standing, can I identify what he's saying as factual about me? And, you know, I go in to seek the truth. You know, I have to take responsibility, and I know you want to take responsibility if, in fact, what this person is complaining about is real.
Yeah.
So you have to check on that. And so everything that you've discussed here to defend yourself and how things work, and that you may have missed someone or someone's complaining because you don't talk to them, or we know you talk to people. So, but you went through the whole list of stuff to say, these are the reasons why that may have happened, and I apologize to you. It's not going to make a difference if you apologize to that person, because they don't really give a crap. They're out to satisfy their own, whatever it is that gives them a rush, whatever it is that thrills them, whatever it is that they succeed in affecting someone to spin somebody, you know, so that they lose their center or lose their self-esteem or lose their self-confidence or now have to explain themselves, defend themselves. To me, yeah, it's a bunch of bunk. You don't have to defend yourself. I stop defending myself as long as I check up and make sure, you know, there's a good thing here that I am speaking about. I may not satisfy anyone. There's always going to be somebody who's not going to like you. There's always going to be someone who will misunderstand you. There's always going to be someone who just doesn't, you know, wants to attack. They're in a bad mood or snarky, or that's the way they are.
Yep.
I learned that a long time ago. You cannot please everybody, Shaziz. You can't. You just have to do your job to the best of your ability, honestly and sincerely and wholeheartedly. You know, you're not going to please everyone.
Yep.
That's where I am. So don't defend yourself.
Yep.
I think it's a waste of effort, waste of time, waste of energy. It's a distraction, which is what they want to do. They want to distract you. They want to knock you off the path. They want to, you know, affect you emotionally and spiritually. And, you know, so this is what's going on in the media. This is what's going on in the big picture. It's not just you.
Yeah, you hit the key point, and that's what I wanted to actually get to about how all this stuff is kind of just like, it's a grind. It grinds you down. And one little trigger like that right there could send most average Joe. See, if I didn't have you around years ago and talking to me like you do, I would have probably cracked by now, and I probably would have deleted all my channels and left up at her. You know, there's been a few times that you guys had to talk me off the cliff because I was so frustrated.
Yep.
But that's what these people are good at. They are really good at what they do.
Yeah, it's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
They're very good at it. And they want you to give up. They want you to say, okay, I give up. I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. Because of their criticism, because of their attitudes toward you or their deliberate criticism toward you to take you down.
Yep.
I'm just saying...
Do you think we've lost because of that?
A lot of people. A lot of people. Because, you know, as a radio host through many, many years, I have, you know, and even up to today, I have seen people who may misunderstand what you're saying or not agree with what you're saying, which is perfectly fine. But instead of having a dialogue or just continuing to listen to see, okay, where is this going? Let me be open. No, they shut down, log off, and leave a snarky remark.
Yep.
Before they go. This is what's happening out in the world. Today I went up to Facebook and I saw this photo of the map of the heat wave across the country. And you know what was written? Yeah, Trump, something about Trump. It's like it, they related the heat wave across the world to Trump.
Huh.
And they said, this is nothing compared to what's coming, and there's the map of the heat wave across the states. And I was like, I laughed. I said, ha, ha, ha. I wrote, ha, ha, ha. Yes, Trump is to blame for everything. I said, you know, Trump is to blame for the end of the world. Trump is to blame for the clear-cutting of the forest that happened before he even came on the, you know, the political scene. Trump is to blame for all the wars. Trump and I was going on and on about blame Trump for this, blame Trump for that. You know, it makes you feel good. I said, you know, now you can go back to your overconsumptions. You can go back to your hate speech. You can go back to everything because it feels good because Trump is to blame for every act that you're doing. You know,
yep.
Taking your own responsibility. This is the insanity that we are looking at today.
Oh, yeah. They have a justification for every dirty deed under the sun. And I just...
Well, Trump is also to blame for all the pedophiles in the Republican House and in the Democrat House.
Well, if he's to blame for global warming, I really got to have a talk with him, you know.
Yeah, well, he has a lot of power. Trump, is blamed for global warming... Man, that guy's got some power. I'd want him on my side, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, right now it's raining outside. It's been raining for several months down here where I'm at. Everything's all sloppy, and sometimes during the wintertime...
Trump's to blame for that, right? The White House.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him, why is my yard all sloppy? You got to stop turning that water spigot on and leaving it or whatever.
Trump's to blame for all the malls in the world that have destroyed land and filled in wetlands and then left a big monster parking lot with, you know, just an eyesore. Trump's to blame for all that.
Well, I don't suppose it could have anything to do with people spraying crud in the air or fracking up the ground and cracking it.
Well, Trump's to blame for that, too.
Man.
You know?
I tell you, he's a really busy man.
He's a wizard. Trump may be a time traveler, for sure. I think he is.
He has to be here to get all those tasks completed.
I think he was here during the time that the chemtrails started, which they say now is was the 1950s, maybe even earlier. You know?
Yeah.
I think the man is a magician. I think he's a time traveler. I think he's been doing all this dirty stuff from the beginning of history.
Dang.
That's what I think. I think he started the whole mess here. I think he was in the Garden of Eden. I think he was the snake.
He must have been. I mean, because how do you get all this stuff accomplished? I mean, I could understand if you focus in on one thing, like maybe heating up the planet, and you get out there like that one kid on South Park, and you spray hairspray up in the air to burn a hole in the ozone, you know. I don't know how many years
right.
that would take, but if he was
Trump invented hairspray, so, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, this is the absurdity of where people have gone.
Yep.
This is the absurdity that I see people spewing out. It's extraordinary to me, you know, I mean, like, talking about the Nazi concentration camps at the border, Trump's to blame for that, meanwhile there's knowledge and information that Obama had people in those cages too. But the point is that a lot of those people, it's a holding place, you know. Well, Ocasio-Cortez says they're drinking toilet water, which is a lie, by the way. That's not true, and she did admit that. But these things are put out, and now people are glomming on to that. That's what they use in their rhetoric. But the point is, a lot of these, especially the children, were not even with, and they have documents on this, how many children they took that were not with their real parents.
That's pretty bad right there, because they're talking about people were renting their kids or people were kidnapping kids just so that they could have
kids.
A kid when they got here.
And then you have the sex trafficking going on across the border. People don't want to look at that, the drug trafficking through the border. And people, it's amazing to me, I keep saying the word illegal. Illegal, hello, illegal. I said, your parents came through Ellis Island legally and became citizens. Today, people come through, if they're coming through Mexico, the process of becoming a citizen of the United States starts in Mexico, by the way. And then you're assessed, and there's a process you have to go through. And then you come through, and then the processes continue for you to become legal citizen. These people are sneaking through the border illegally, but everybody says, yeah, let them come in illegally. You know, they're not using the word illegally. They say these people need, what do they call it, sanctuary. These people are running for their lives.
I wonder if people realize that it's not just the United States where these people are not abiding by the law, because I'm pretty sure that Mexico has laws of their own, and they're just coming across the border of Mexico from one side and crossing through Mexico and going to the U.S. And, of course, you know, Mexico could actually enforce their laws and slow them down or something like that if they wanted to. But there's something more going on here than just meets the eye, so it's not just America border laws.
No, it's not. So the point is, any country that you go into illegally, you will be arrested.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at that. The word is illegal. The word is due process of law to enter into any country. If you sneak into a country and set up a house and whatever and get on the dole or get a job or whatever, go to college, well, this is what these illegal people are given carte blanche. And then you have people, citizens, sleeping in the streets.
Yeah.
Thousands of people on the streets in San Francisco, California, and who knows all where, all over the country. Children hungry, children starving, dirty water, that people in Flint that they can't even drink, the reservations, people are dying from the dumping of the government. I mean, this is our country. Why do they want to come here? I don't know. Because they get free everything.
Those were the things you just mentioned were other things that I also talked about on that live stream yesterday, telling people that we can solve this. But the only way we're going to be able to solve it is if we do it instead of waiting for governments or companies and stuff like that to do it. So I've been trying to do everything I can to try to motivate people to, you know, gather, you know, if you're not gathering here, gather somewhere in your communities and do something positive, and we can talk back and forth. Like, you know, you got a problem over there in your side of the place, and you say, hey, you know, we got this problem over here with dirty water. Do you have any good ideas for how to filter or, you know, clean this water up? And I could jump right in there and say, yeah, we've got all kinds of research that we put together that you can use this for. And
well, yeah, don't wait for the government, because they're the ones that created the problem.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to say. The people, you know, us talking back and forth to each other, and we could help each other design, you know, to mimic what nature does, filtering water, and we can get it done. We don't need to ask the government for help in doing this. This is something that we can do on our own. Most of the materials necessary to make a really good natural water filtration system, you can find in your own communities. You know, something as simple as a food-grade water barrel, and then understanding how whenever rain comes down and it hits the earth, that the grass would be like the very first portion of that filtration, and then all the different minerals and things down in that deal. By the time it gets from the surface of the grass all the way down through all that dirt and rock and all that, it has been cleaned up, and then it gets down into the water table, and now you got fresh water again. So that's something we can resolve. So we wouldn't have to worry about people having to drink dirty water. And as far as food in places where, you know, maybe they've been prone to floods, we could actually design systems that would float up every time the water raised up, and the plants would still be perfectly fine, and they wouldn't float away or anything because they'd be anchored down. But then whenever the water receded, it'd go right back down. You could actually even design it so you could still drive a tractor over to do all the work you needed to do. But if there was ever a case of a flood, then you got these barge-like planters that would literally float straight up, and they would be protected from the floodwaters. And then when the floodwaters receded, they'd go straight back down. And it's doable. You know, it may take a few years
to get
up.
Well, anything is doable. Yeah. There are solutions. The point is that a lot of people's hands are tied. The people that live in a city, like, say, the city of Flint, Michigan, they have no water source except what's coming out of that faucet, or bottled water, which they have to pay for.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the government, first started giving them bottled, handing out bottled water, but what's in the bottled water? I mean, again, it's like one or the other, I don't know, but it's just a lot of people, our hands are tied, you know. I mean, to put up a water system is not easy when you're living in a city, in a tent, you know, in a tenant, or, you know, there's no water source. If you go to the lake down the road, or the pond, or the creek, or wherever it is, if you have one near the city, it's polluted, you know. You need to have that ability to gather people. In all circumstances, to me, it all comes down to our unity. There are things we can't do alone. We do need each other. And basically, the system has deliberately pitted us against each other. To blame each other, or to blame whatever, this political party or that political person, you know, we could spend eons blaming others instead of coming into unity and sitting down talking and see what can we do together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's the whole point, is gathering people together to actually get things accomplished. That's what we've been trying to do That's the whole purpose of this round table here. You know, it's a round table. Nobody's in charge.
It's a round table with you and me. I'm across from you on this table. Yeah. Where's the other people?
That's what I... Where's the guy that told me he unsubbed? All right? Well, he's been invited. Everybody's been invited here.
Everybody's invited, but they just want to be snarky, and they just want to complain, and they just want to point fingers. Well, we don't need them on the round table, then. We need really productive, you know, compassionate people who can have a dialogue, you know,
yep,
a good dialogue with each other and determine, okay, our differences together and our resources together and how to go about it.
That's it, you know.
I think what's happening is, I'm sorry to cut you off because I'm on a roll. I think that
sorry.
I'm on a rant. A ranting here. I think that what's really going on is for a long, long time, a very long time, people have been told that the authorities have the answers, and they have been told they must listen to the authorities. And that's embedded, imprinted in the minds of civilization. Pretty much the authorities have all the knowledge, they have all the money, they have all the ways, they'll take care of us. You know, they will control everything, they'll make everything better. For us, we just have to sit back and consume. We just have to, you know, whatever, work. You know, go out to your job, get on the gerbil wheel and, you know, get involved in debt. That's the system's going to take care of us. And don't people see by now that the system is the problem, that the authorities are the problem, that the authorities don't give a crap for you or your people or your family? They just don't.
That's it.
Once you get in as a political person, you could be a good person, but once you get in that door, they're going to take you through another door, and they're going to sit you down. They're going to say, well, now you're here. Guess what? We own you. If you want to keep your job where you're going to get a lot of money, and you can have a mansion, and you can have everything you want, you can go to parties, and you can go here and there, and you can have the biggest car or several cars that you want, you will be privileged. You have to do what we say.
Yeah.
And if you don't, goodbye.
That's the whole point.
That's the system.
That's how it works.
I'm just saying, people, the issue to me is if you don't get out of the system and start connecting with people in your community and come into unity to work together for your families and your own personal circle, which will emanate out from you anyway to the rest of the neighborhood, and other people will join, and other people will get their own little thing going, you know, you're just going to be stuck in the system.
Yes.
That's it. The system is not working for us. The system works for the authorities and their families.
It's really simple to sit around and blame the government for everything under the sun, blame the rich, blame everybody, but it's a little bit more effort to actually get up off the couch and, you know, put down the keyboard and go out there and meet with your communities, your friends and family, and
yes,
and actually be proactive in your community to do things. And all the ideas that we talked about here, and I've said this a million times, it's just an idea until somebody acts upon it, until they take it and they run with it, you know. So, you know, the man or woman that unsubbed me, that's a sad, but I'm not going to stop doing what it is I'm doing because of that. If they would take any of these ideas and take them and run with them, and then maybe something didn't work, they could come back and say, hey, you know, I tried this out and it didn't work. What gives here, you know? And we'd figure it out. We'd fix it. We'd make it work. So that's the whole deal, you know?
If you're not going to take responsibility for your own life and your own family, if you're going to actually continue to rely on somebody else to be responsible for you and your family, you're not going to do so well.
No.
Because those people don't care about you. They put themselves in that position so that they can create things for themselves and use you as a slave.
Yeah. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, I can't build a generator for everyone out there. I can show you how I do it, and I can give you ideas for them, but, you know, if you have a community gathering, like, you know, you make your little makers group and you see some project that I'm working on, heck, I even told them, if it come down to, you know, you needed some resources or something like that, if I had the funds available, I would even help pitch in so that you could get your project done. That's, we share resources, we share ideas and tools, and we get something done. But, you know, it's not just like, you know, I can point out everything I've done. I got 280 some odd videos. I've got an astronomical amount of podcasts with all my friends, you and Patty and Barry and everybody who's joined the Knights of the Round Table in the past or whatever. And we got, I got projects that, you know, you can see and done live streams and all that. So I'm not just sitting here bantering, you know, I'm not sitting here talking.
You don't have to defend yourself. You are doing your work that Creator put you here on the earth to do.
But to
That's what you're here for.
If we all put our focus in together, doing that's what the whole key was. That's what we've been trying to motivate. You know, with the round table, because it's in cyberspace, it could be as big as we need it. You know, we could expand this thing to every nation. There could be a big giant round table and people around there. You know, hey, I got a problem over here with this. Anybody have any ideas on how to fix it? And we're like, yeah, we got some ideas over there, and we can put the right people with the right people and get things resolved. There might be somebody right next door to you that you don't even know about that is involved in the deal that has resources that you need to resolve an issue in your community. See, that's where the magic of this whole thing comes about. You know, if we talk to each other like we're doing, Barbara's in another state than I am. And, you know, Barry, when he's in all the way in Canada, and we're still talking about solutions and stuff like that, you know. And
well, you have a telephone, you have Skype, have ways to communicate with each other and get answers and talk about things and figure things out. You're not alone in this. The thing is, you have to reach out, you have to want to. You have to want to get out of the system. You want to have to say, I'm stepping out of the matrix. I have to unlock the chain here. It's my responsibility. I can unlock the chain. Nobody's going to do it for me. I've got to step away from this complete dependence, reliance upon the authorities that don't care for me at all. I mean, history shows us that. I mean, you know, how many years have we been at war?
Yep.
You know, forever. We have been at war something like 229 times out of, I don't know, 230 sometimes out of 200 and whatevers. Since 1776, we've been at war.
Yep.
Has anything changed for you? Has anything changed for your family, for your people? No, it hasn't changed. You know, it may appear that way because it kind of like they make it seem like. You know, how they make it seem like that way is through advertising or mainstream media. It basically makes everything look like, oh, it's wonderful. You know, I mean, it is wonderful, but you know what? The point is that if you're suffering, you have to ask the question, why aren't things working out for me? Who am I dependent upon that isn't coming through, you know, in that way?
It amazes me how most folks that are basically in the box and not happy with the way life is going will allow the government to reach down in that box and grab up whichever soldier they want and put them on the battlefield and let them do that. But they won't allow another brother or sister to reach down and help them out of that box so that they can see, you know, the big picture of what's going on, how we resolve all this. They got so much faith in authority that it's ridiculous, and they got so much faith in the education system that it's ridiculous. I want to know what the things that they're teaching me in school, I want to know, do they really work? Is it the truth? You know, but there's been many incidents throughout my lifetime where, you know, the science book just didn't have all the answers. The, you know, history book wasn't, something didn't jive, and so I dared to question authority. I dared to question the teacher. I dared to ask, you know, what if, or how come this is, or, you know, why did they do that, you know? And I think that more people need to have that type of freedom to actually think for themselves, to say, you know, I don't agree with going over there and hurting people. You know, maybe
well,
I don't want
to be a warrior.
First
of all, when you're really small, you're told right away, don't question authority. You're slapped down if you question somebody. You slap down if you're an individual. You have to get in with the herd. You have to become one of the sheeple. You have to, otherwise you're ostracized. Otherwise you're weird, you're different, you're crazy. This is the beginning of the indoctrination into the system. You know, so people can be unhappy, and they're told by mainstream media who to blame.
Yep.
I mean, this is the whole point, is the mainstream media is running your life. You know, the mainstream media runs people's lives and rules people's minds. You know, and I have to say that once, long ago, as a young person, I thought we lived in the greatest country in the world. I thought we we are the good people. We are the Americans. We are the ones. Okay, I believed that. Well, guess what? Over these years of doing research and everything, I realized, no, we are not, and our government is a dirty government, and guess what? All the other governments are the same.
Yep.
They are all the same, and if you don't think that your government is corrupt, well, I don't know, maybe you need to do more research or wake up or something, but all the governments act the same. It's all the same game.
Well, it's the track record. All you got to do is follow the track record, and you can see what they did in the past. You know, like, here's the thing. I'm not trying to sound hateful or anything. I'm not trying to sound, you know, heartless or anything. But every single time I see one of those videos on TV about starving babies in Africa, I get mad. And I'll tell you why I get mad. Because scientifically, I know that Africa is probably one of the most mineral-rich nations that are out there, continent, whatever you want to call it. But these folks have been, you know, lied to and manipulated for so long that they can't even have access to their own resources. It's other nations that come in there and get their gold and their diamond, and it's the poor people that are down there risking their life and their safety in order to get these shiny things so that these people can benefit. There's a deal out there. If you look it up, it's called Blood Diamonds, all right? It's not just
these
diamonds.
Yeah, I know all about it. It's like, it's the same thing with coal. It's the same thing with gold. I mean, they use the Indians as slaves to go into the gold mines, and you know they died in there, or they were beaten to death if they didn't bring out certain amounts of gold. I mean, this has been going on forever. The authorities have been doing this, the governments have been doing this, and the people have been, everybody pretty much have been complicit to what is going on. We can't keep blaming the government, but we must awake to the game the government plays, and we must take responsibility for our own circumstances.
Yep. If you can't recognize what's actually holding you down, how can you ever fight against it? I mean, it's like YouTube and the suppression on YouTube. We understand by now that YouTube has its own bias. There's certain things, political biases or agendas that they subscribe to because a lot of their advertisers subscribe to them, and politically, you know, they can say things or don't say things, and they don't want you to say anything contrary to whatever's going to make their, you know, system or their agenda, you know, work out in their favor. So,
well, it's a political agenda.
Yeah.
It's a political agenda. So there's using of our information. They found that out. They're using it. They're spying on us. They're using our information. You know, they're manipulating the people.
Yeah.
And plus they're censoring.
That's it.
For political reasons. And, you know, I just saw a thread, and I don't know where it is, but that Google affected the election through certain output, I guess, and information to their subscribers that had an effect. A person who was in a Congress being interrogated, I guess what happens when you go there, he was disclosing what was discovered about Google and how they manipulated the elections. You know, so this is a power, this Google, Facebook, all these technological systems, these corporate systems, are political. They're not innocent. They're political. They have a political bent, and they are controlling. You know, so that's another thing that we have to be very careful of. You know, the censorship especially. They're censoring people. If you're a religious person, or if you say the word Jesus, or you say we should have prayer in school, and I'm not saying I agree with this, I'm just using this as a fact here, then you get censored.
Yep.
And they allow what they want from their political bent, from their political perspectives, they allow those things to be seen. And the other things, I wrote a thread on Facebook last year about, my title was The Great Awakening. And do you know that was banned?
It don't surprise me none.
That was banned
because
by Facebook.
They don't want all of us waking up to reality.
Think of that. The Great Awakening, they banned what I just said that. The Great Awakening is happening or something like that. They banned my post because I used the word the Great Awakening.
Well, that ought to be a red flag to show everybody what we've been saying is right. You know, I can't say the name of it, but there's a comment over there in People for People. I'm going to just shorten this. GD Hippies over there said, the government is the people. It's the representatives of the corporations that have assumed the role of the government that need their booties kicked for not being in accordance with the law. And it says settle on there. But the thing about it is, I keep trying to tell everybody, the way the system was set up, we are supposed to be the government. We are the government. We the people. By the people, for the people, of the people.
Well, that was never fact. Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
But that's,
because that was a big lie. That's part of the lie
that's what
of the United States
that,
and other places in the world. That's a big lie.
That is part of the illusion to give us the sense of freedom and to believe that, like some folks believe we're a democracy, and we're not. We've never been a democracy, but even a representative republic is still under the same umbrella because we are supposed to be the government. We send our representatives to Congress and Senate, and they're supposed to do our bidding. But we obviously see that they don't do our bidding, so it's just whoever says the fanciest words gets elected, and so on down the line. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash still has his hand in the cookie jar. Who's that Snively Whiplash? Well, it's one of the corrupt individuals that we allowed to sit in those seats of power. We're allowing them to sit there, you know? And in reality, sometimes we didn't even vote for these people. Sometimes there was a lot of election fraud that got the crooked up there in those seats of power. I said this I don't know how many times. You look at a man's finances before he goes into Congress or the Senate or even the White House for that matter or any position of power, and then weigh those finances against the finances after they get out of there. How did they go in there as maybe a millionaire and come out a billionaire or have all these perks that would benefit them to the extent where like insider trading and all this kind of stuff? There's a reason why a rich person would want to get one of these seats. If for influence, for notoriety, for, you know, power, or stuff like that. There's a lot of power in being a senator or a congressman. Like this lady that, Ocasio-Cortez, or whatever they call her, she was a waitress in a bar, all right? And now she is in a seat of power making more money than most of Americans would make in a lifetime, you know, in 1 month, you know, that she makes a lot of money. And so, and then they're talking about she needs a raise. The Congress and the Senate needs a price of living increase on their finances, really? You know, and all the information that they're able to get out there. Imagine me or you, Barbara, being able to be in one of those seats and actually having a voice before Congress and the Senate. You know, would they even let us talk when we got there, or would they find some way to shut us down and censor us even there so that we couldn't try to motivate people to the understanding that there's solutions? Does that make any sense, what I just said?
Yeah, like I said, if you get in those positions, you are taken in the back room. If you start making waves and going against their plan, you're taken in the back room. And you're taken in the back room with the higher you up. The higher position you are up in the political system, you're taken quickly into the back room.
So
you cannot fight that system.
No.
Even if you are in a political position. You belong to a certain party and you must comply with what that party, and both parties are really the same. There's no difference.
So,
and you know, these people are really good at psychological warfare. They know exactly what to say. They sense, they know what's going on in the town, in the state. They know the troubles, they know the problems, and they promise
and never
with
deliver.
Forked tongue. You know the word, the phrase forked, he speaks with forked tongue?
Yep.
Well, that's what's going on.
Well, so once again, my friend, can you hear me? That's the YouTube username. said, I'm not trying to troll you, but come on, man, get to the point. You talk in circles. We all know the game is rigged. I tried to contact you a few times to bounce ideas off of you, but not a word. But here's the thing. There's a lot of times I don't get notifications to people I subscribe to. There's a lot of times I don't get emails from people that are trying to send emails to me. So it's not necessarily just the fact that I missed it. It could be the fact that somebody intervened in between. I never even got the message to begin with. But now that we've got this all figured out, you know that it's rigged. I know that it's rigged. And we have an idea how to get around the rigged system by contacting people directly. Everyone in the chat room, we've got contact with these folks right now. We can talk to them. So we can talk to them about going out there and talking to their communities. Everyone that we are trying to motivate to go out there into your community, start a little group, a makers group or a solutions group, and say, look, hey, we listen to this show called Knights of the Round Table, and they're always talking about different things. We listen to this show called Mad Science. They're always talking about different things. And I think this one particular idea that they had a show about would benefit our community if we actually tried to build these things and worked on them. One example that I give as far as fuel-related kind of deals is when I talked about duckweed and watermill. Well, those two things right there are because of a deal that's going on with the farming communities. The farmers, they use things, fertilizers and manures and stuff to make their ground really nutrient rich. And that process, when the rain comes down, washes a lot of that nutrients down. It goes into the pond, and if there's any algaes or duckweed or watermill in there, that duckweed and watermill will thrive. And what it ends up doing is making the pond look terrible. It's all covered in green, and you know, you can't see the beauty of the water and the fish and all that kind of stuff unless you're willing to clean it off. However, that negative could be turned into a positive for your community, because now you realize you have another resource that you could actually talk to the farmer about and say, hey, you don't have to buy fertilizer next year. We're going to take what you caused down here, we're going to skim it off, we're going to store it up, and so next year you'll be able to use this to fertilize your ground. It'll have all the minerals and nutrients necessary to do what these other chemicals did, and we can work this out to eventually where you're still being able to fertilize, but you're getting proper nutrients and everything to grow your crops good, but you're also going to help to keep our water clean is the same thing. Plus, we can use this other material, what is left over in excess, we can turn into fuel for your tractors so that you can run your tractors without having to pay such a high price on fuel next year. So even if you only save a quarter or even a fraction of the fuel cost that you normally have, that's extra savings in your pocket that will benefit you as the farmer. So these are examples of what you could actually take into your community and get things resolved. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I agree. You know, but, okay, I'm going to say that AOC appears to be a plant, and a couple of others appear to be a plant in the system, deliberately placed in there to create chaos and divisiveness and division within the party. and it's working very well, by the way.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me because of one thing. Do you remember the phrase called Rhino?
No.
Well, Rhino is a name for Republicans that are Republican in name only, because we Republicans have a platform that they all say that they agree on. But
okay. You
could get a Democrat to sit in as a Republican and vote for the Democrat side every time, just kind of, you know, make it look like a part of the time he votes with the Republicans, the other part of the time, but the majority of the time he'll vote with the Democrats. So they call those rhinos, Republican in name only.
Okay, I think I have heard that phrase,
so,
yeah.
So what you were saying about Ocasio being a plant could very well be, she's on the Republican side, but over here acting a fool so that it makes the Democrats look bad getting them reelected. You see what I'm saying?
Well, she's also dividing the party.
Yeah.
She's dividing the party, and it's actually, there's the question about, it's not a question, is she a plant? It's a question, is who planted her, the Dems or the Republicans?
Yep.
It's looking more, you know, in the other way, but I'm just saying there's stuff going on that people aren't aware of. You know, you have to do research. You have to go into the rabbit holes, into the tunnels, You have to look at factual documents. You have to look at threads that link to factual documents. You have to look at a lot.
Yep.
You know, you have to look at who funded who. This is the big thing. Who gave money to who? Who funded who? What big corporation or what big person, millionaire, trillionaire, whatever, funded this political person? That's a lot. You learn a lot knowing that.
Yep. Well, the whole thing is, if we don't like the system that we're living in, it's up to us to change it from the inside out. Just like they can go in and destroy a society from the inside out, we can also go in and repair that society from the inside out, because we're down here at ground level. I mean, face the facts, folks. Everything that gets built out there in the world is done by we, the people who go to work and work for the companies and stuff like that. So it's not like we don't have the skill set to make things. We do have the skill set. There's welders out there and plumbers and electricians, electronics engineers. All of you individuals out there have talent. And we know you're busy with your jobs, and you're busy with trying to take care of your lives and trying to enjoy, you know, a decent lifestyle, live the American dream, so to speak. But we get that. But if you're not satisfied with the status quo of how your government is reacting or doing or you know, everything that's going on, the only way to fix it is the same way that they use to destroy us, to keep us divided. We can fix it from the inside out. If you say, hey, look, I know those folks over there are telling you this one thing over here, but check this out. We can do this. And you get together and you do it. And you get it done. By that time, when you don't have to go to the fuel pumps nearly as much, because you've actually figured out ways that you can supplement your energy usage or, you know, your food growth or whatever, things that like that from the inside out is what changes that system, because they only have power whenever you're buying what they're selling. It doesn't matter whether it's their words or whether it's their products or whatever. When you're buying what they're selling, then they stay powerful. And that's why they want to manipulate you as much as possible to keep you doing the same exact thing that you've been doing for generations. So the mainstream media has an agenda to give you the information that the companies approve of, the corporations approve of, the government approves of. It's never down to what the people approve of until they realize that there's a majority of the people who are upset about something that will get their attention, and then they'll put their remedy in there. Does that make sense?
Well, nothing makes sense to me anymore. I'm just saying, nothing makes sense.
Well, I get that too. Because knowing everything we just mentioned right here about how the people actually have the power if they ever choose to use it, that's, we can fix things. And
well, the thing is, why I say that is because it's not just today, in this day, that these issues are present. It's not just today that we are experiencing these things. This has been going on from the beginning. This has been a long, long, long time plan. All over the world, not just here in the States, in the United States. So there's been a faction, a group of persons, or a cabal, or an elite group, or a club, that none of us belong to. These are the money people.
Yep.
These are the people in position. And do you think that they're just going to sit back and say, well, let's help the people. These are our people. Let's do good for the people. Let's help those people. Okay?
Yeah.
They're not doing that. It's a let's help our people. I want to keep my position. I want to keep my money, and I want more. I want more money. I need more, 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 more. So those people are going to be in my way. But I can use those people. I can enslave those people for my benefit. I can use those people. So I'm talking about, this is not just our present-day problem, our present-day issue.
Yep.
Here in this world. This is a long-term plan, a complete controlling factor of your mind, your body, and your spirit, your whole life. And so that's why I'm looking at this. Is nothing makes sense to me anymore, where the people think that they are in control, where the people believe in a political person or the political system, where people believe that those people care for them. that they're actually going to take care of them. You know, that, when are people going to wake up? I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing all in a nutshell right there. It's, you know, I don't understand why it is that people can't see what it is that we're saying. I mean, I just don't get it.
Well, I can tell you why, because, again, we have to, when we ask that question, it kind of shocks us. What's wrong with people? Why don't they see? Why don't they hear? Why aren't they awake, alert? Well, because they're brainwashed. We're talking generations and generations from way back across the pond before they all got here to Turtle Island. Generations of brainwashing, taking people out of their natural, their original nature, for instance.
Yep.
Their original nature is connected to the Mother Earth and Creator, connected to their sacredness, the connection to what this creation, this awesome creation, you know, they have been usurped. They've been taken out of the sacred circle and put in a box. And that was deliberate.
Yep, and basically people don't seem to realize that when you protest, when you're out there protesting, you're doing their bidding, really. It don't matter who you're protesting against. You are making them money. You're helping them out because they'll use that protest as a example on the mainstream media of how we got to get these regulations in because we got all these people upset and it could cause a problem and this and that, or we got to save the children and all that kind of stuff. But if you look, that's been protest after protest for decades. I mean, generations. And some way back when, there were things that going on like with unions where people were actually getting killed. Seriously.
Oh yeah, if you were standing up for a union for your rights,
yep.
They made it so that they could shoot those men, shoot those women, your family, your people, your brother, your uncle, your grandfather, and so on.
Yep.
Look at what happened at Kent State.
Yep.
Don't forget that. On our own shores here in the United States, Kent State.
Yep.
They sent the military in. The people, like your neighbor's son, and yep, shot those young people.
And it started an uproar. But once again, every single time you protest, all it takes, a little bit of violence and more regulations, and it's news, all right? So they'll put it out there on the news, but guess what? In between each one of these news cycles is commercial ad after commercial ad after commercial ad. They're constantly selling you stuff. They're bombarding you with information. You're on the edge of your seat. You got to see what's going to happen next. What's going on with that riot down there? So everybody tunes into YouTube and they tune into the mainstream media to find out what's going on, and they get in there and they argue back and forth about who's right and who's wrong with their points of view and on there. And in some incidents, most generally, 90% of the time, people are getting so angry that nobody is hearing what they have to say that they're just talking filthy to each other. They're threatening one another. Hey, we need to go burn down this place or that place or whatever. We need to blow it up or all this. And what
they're attacking each other now.
Yeah, and what I'm
it's
trying to get at
violence.
Is when you do that, you still support the same exact system that you think that you're fighting against, but you're not fighting against it. You're playing in to the hands of the people that's running the chessboard.
They want you in the streets so they can create their scenario, their game, play
yep,
their game.
That's it.
So you're participating. So the other point, talking about energies and frequencies. So then we have another faction. We have an unseen faction, let's say. We have that energy, that frequency of violence, of rage, of hate, of all those negatives. The negative low frequencies are feeding this. It's like a feeding frenzy, basically. It's because your energy, your frequency, your rage, it has a power,
yeah,
and it affects everything. So it's not just that you're a physical person punching another person or screaming or spitting on a person. Your energy, that frequency, has an effect on the whole.
Let me give you an example.
And this is manipulative. They need that frequency. Who are they?
Let me give you an example of what you're talking about with using music. All right. Now, we know there's a political system that most folks don't agree with. We know society's kind of messed up. And so people who are like wanting to monopolize on that and actually make money, they will put like rage music out there. You know, you're raging against the machine and it's got to be harder and harder. But when you go listen to that kind of music, it raises your body up to now you're, hey, yeah, let's go out and get them kind of mentality. Just like on the opposite side of the spectrum, if somebody's playing some music that's peaceful and it kind of lulls you into a state of you know, peace and harmony, you know, false sense of security or whatever, music is so powerful. And if you don't think I'm right, actually go out there and watch some commercials. These commercials will pick songs out to match up whatever it is that they're trying to say about, like a car, you know, being a really powerful car. They'll have a powerful rock song in the background and everybody's
and
familiar
with. And Naked Woman.
Yeah, and you can relate to it. You know, I mean, it gives you that sense of instant rebel. I'm fighting against a machine. I'm going to go buy this hot rod, you know.
That'll make me feel good.
Yeah.
I'll feel good. All my problems will be solved. I'll feel really good.
They know what they're doing. They know how to manipulate you.
The thing is, we're talking about energies. We're talking about the power of your word, the power of your actions, the power of music, for instance, the power of that sound, what it does to you. But now, there are studies done, and if you think we're talking through our head about your words or your actions affect the whole, just go to The Secret Life of Plants. Go to Emoto's studies and scientific studies and proof about the power of word and music upon water. Just go do that research. I'm just saying.
Oh, let me put in something that you need to actually contemplate on, because there are actual debunking videos out there. But you got to understand that when you think something is not going to work, you are actually affecting that experiment. So you have to go into that experiment with
a
mindset.
That's been studied. That's factual. This is about metaphysics. Okay, this is frequencies, metaphysics. This is molecular structures. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about that sphere, that arena, that realm. Okay. So if you don't know what we're talking about about metaphysics, molecular structures and stuff like that, and the powers of frequencies and word and so on, do your research. Don't just debunk this. Don't just say, how's that work? That's impossible. My words can't affect the whole. Yeah, well, yeah, do your studies. Do your research.
Yep. So the reason why I brought that up is because that's a really good experiment that actually does work. But if you go into it with a straight out mind that this is bunk, it's not going to work, you're not going to get the same results that you would if you had an open mind and you just allowed the experiment to go the way that the guy actually initially did this. You know, it's like you put love on one jar and you go and talk to this jar over and over again, saying really nice things, and one you just flat out ignore, and one you just say really rotten things to, and you notice a difference in the way that these things deteriorate or, you know, stay, you know, fairly fresh before this experiment's out. So that's how powerful your mind is when you're not looking at this thing as you know, this is all just crazy, it's just nuts, I'm not. When you actually go in with an open mind and you allow this experiment to play itself through, you're going to get completely different results than when if you go in as a hardcore skeptic or critic of it. Yeah, I knew this was all fake to begin with or whatever. But that's what they do. They put a debunking video out there trying to say that, no, this doesn't really work or anything like that. But you see what I'm trying to say here, Barbara? If you think it's not going to work, it ain't going to work, period.
Well, because that's the power of your thoughts.
Yeah.
The thoughts are powerful. You create and manifest what you believe in. What you focus on, you manifest.
Yep.
This is the power that we have. And maybe this is beyond some people's comprehension, but this is factual, and there have been studies about this, and this has been talked about in ad nauseum really, to prove that this is true.
Well, you could just use your words just to go in a room and be nothing but negative and watch everybody turn negative. Or you could go in there and be nothing but positive and watch everybody in that room turn positive.
Well, you don't even have to speak. You could just go in there and your energy could be snarky, angry, down, or depressed, whatever, and people are going to be affected.
Yep.
Why is that, you say?
That's a lot of power. Because they can sense.
Well, what that is because we're beings of frequency. We're beings of energy. We're not some solid blobby mass here.
Yep.
We have trillions and trillions of cells within our body that respond, that actually respond to what your brain is saying, what your mind is saying, what you're focusing on. It's like when you go to a doctor and they say to you, and a study has been done of this, scientific studies, of course, when you go to a doctor and they say, you go home, you have 6 months to live, the majority of those people go home and die at the pretty much the prescribed time. That's because you believe them, okay? That's because you believe it and you take on that belief and your whole body, your immune system and everything and every cell in your body is being told, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Well, that's a brainwashing. It's basically a self-fulfilled prophecy.
Yep, and they've proven that with the placebo effect with the sugar pills and medicine. They actually, in one particular deal, gave both sides sugar pills. And they both, one of them thought they had medicine, and the other one, you know, thought they had medicine, but one of them, one side of them actually believed that it was actually helping them, and the other side didn't, and you could see the difference in the two.
Well, there was a study done, more than one study, but particularly this comes to mind, is the Dr. Carl Symington and Dr. Stephanie Symington with their clinic that basically, people went to them that after the medical society, medical system, Western medicine told them, we can't help you, you're going to die. And they had, well, they found their way to this clinic that the Symingtons were the forerunners of the body, mind, spirit, okay, understanding of that we are body, mind, spirit, where the Western medicine is basically, oh, you have a tumor over here, let's just cut it out, or let's radiate it, or you have a pain here, take a pill.
Yep.
Okay, ignoring the mind and the spirit. In the Aboriginal way, in Australia, the Aboriginal people speak to this. My people speak to this, the body, mind, spirit. This is the healing way of our original people, is this fact that we are body, mind, and spirit. Most, if not a greater percentage of dis-ease comes from emotional trauma, emotional issues. Okay, so if you're just focusing on this tumor or this, you know, whatever, malady or dis-ease within your body and you're radiating it or you're cutting it out, what's remaining is the spiritual and the emotional context here. You're missing a major piece of a human being, body, mind, spirit. So that is why when you go to a medicine person, in, for instance, in the Outback, the real people there, the real medicine people, okay, they have had extraordinary healing, have healed people that the doctors gave up on, because what they're doing is they're restoring your body, mind, spirit balance. Okay, they're not feeding you drugs, they're not operating on you, they're in process of harmonizing and balancing your whole system, body, mind, spirit, that has been out of balance, that becomes diseased or sick, okay, because of this imbalance. This is the system of the ancient way. This is our way of healing. This is what happens when you do hands-on healing, for instance. Now, hands-on healing is using energy, it's using frequency, it's using thought, it's using projection of power of word, okay? This is what you do with it. The body is an amazing healer in itself, but if something is imbalanced or out of balance or diseased,
so why wouldn't the system want you to know that you had that capability? What would be something that they would have to gain by not allowing people like the power of prayer, you know, because you know they say that more hospitals now are embracing, prayer to people who are having, illnesses, and they seem to be getting unexplainable results.
Well, they're halfway there. They're halfway there. They're far removed from the whole of recognizing and identifying the whole piece.
So what would they have to gain by not?
Well, we'll allow you to pray or play, nice music while you're under the operation, or while you're being radiated, while your body's being assaulted, or we're cutting you with the knife. We'll allow you to pray. So they're not fully there. They're not really believing in this power of prayer. Okay? It's sort of like, okay, well, we'll allow you to pray. Yeah, you can listen to on your headphones while we're operating on you. We can play some nice music, some celestial music or angels singing. We'll allow that. But they don't really believe in this power.
So what would the system have to gain by not wanting you to realize the energies that you actually have in your body that are healing capabilities? Science says your body can rejuvenate itself every 7 years.
I know you know the answer to that.
Yeah, I know the answer.
I know you know the answer to that.
I'll say it if you
want. I know the answer to that. We know the answer to that. Why won't they allow us to be our true self? Why are they taking our power away? Why have they lied to us, telling us that we are powerless?
Because if we're running
why
around,
are they lying to us, telling us we are sinners?
If we run around, original, if we run around healing and inspiring each other, then they're out of business because they can't sell drugs if we're all healing one another.
We know cancer is a big business.
Yeah. A lot of money in it.
Now, so you have all these diseases that the system has basically created and manufactured through the chemicals, through the GMOs, through the pollutions, through the chemicals in our food. This is all about money. Yeah. Money, 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 money. It's all about greed. It's about people who are greedy, who have a product that want to sell it to the public, but their studies have shown, this might poison people, but it's only a certain percentage if you ingest only a certain. Well, then they have the system that says, we will allow, the federal, the FDA will allow a certain percentage of this chemical within the food, but it's only a small percentage, so it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
It's not going to. But guess what? How many products are you ingesting that have all these little particles of chemicals in them? And then they're building up in your system from the time you're small. And then at a certain age, you're going to start getting sick.
That's like aspartame. It's still on the market. But if you really do serious research into it, you know that it builds up in your system. And it'll actually give you heart attack-like symptoms, because of just like lead poisoning or anything else, or mercury poisoning. Your body's not meant for that kind of stuff. It can't break it down. And whenever it can't break it down, the only thing it can do is cover it up. Therefore, you end up with a doggone tumor, And so the mainstream
system has been set up where we doubt ourselves.
Yep.
Deliberately set up that we rely upon the authorities, but deliberately set up that we believe they can heal us. Deliberately set up, to believe that this fight against cancer is going to happen, going to be successful someday, and that they're going to win. Just give us money.
There's one politician out there that said, if I'm elected president, I'll cure cancer. Really? I think cancer's already been cured.
Wasn't that Joe Biden?
I can't remember which one. But that's pretty lofty, claim there. But the thing is, cancer's already been cured in multiple different directions. Everything from natural herbs to all kinds of things like hyperbaric oxygen, and even people that use basically the
like
power of prayer.
Natural things, but they're killing everything natural, so they're making sure that you can't get anything natural.
So
you have your own free will, my people. We have our own free will. We have a free will to wake up, step out of the system, get out of that matrix, and stop believing in the authorities, and stop believing that they really care for us, that they're taking care of us, that they're going to make everything better, that there is going to be somebody that's going to make everything better, there's going to be a savior coming on a white horse.
I get angry when I see videos of children having to go through medical procedures that cost them to lose their hair, knowing that there's a better way, but yet
it's a shame.
Because
there's
I'm not
the
a
story.
Doctor, I don't,
many Yeah. Many stories.
Go ahead.
Well, I have to tell this story, and there's many stories like this. Okay, please. This is factual. This is real. This this family's daughter, she was about a 12, 13-year-old girl. I was getting headaches. They took her to the doctor. They did some, you know, whatever they do, studies, and they found a tumor. Well, once you're in that system, forget it. You can't get out. So if you go to a doctor and they find a tumor, now they set up a program for you. The program is their program where they're going to now radiate you or give you chemotherapy. So this little girl went into that system. Basically, her parents' hands were tied. So over a time, she's on chemotherapy, and she's dying. Her parents see she's dying because that chemotherapy attacks your immune system, okay? That's what it does. It's the luck of the draw if you make it through chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is not healing you. It's the luck of the draw that you make it. And by the way, later on, most often, the cancer comes back because you were being radiated. Okay, even mammograms, they now have just come out and said that mammograms are serious radiation of the body and can cause cancer. So now they want women on a yearly, even if you've never had cancer, they want you to step up to that mammogram and get your yearly radiation, okay, that will protect you from getting cancer. Anyway, so this family saw their daughter was basically dying from the chemo. And they found an alternative, I think it was in Germany, they found some alternative group there that had very good success. They so they kidnapped their own daughter. Okay, they had to kidnap her because they couldn't go to the doctor and say, well, first they did go to the doctor and said, we want to take our daughter to this clinic in Germany because we believe that this would be better for her. Well, the doctor called the Child Protective Services because the parents wanted to remove their own daughter from the medical system. The Child Protective Services stepped in, took the child from the parents. Then the parents found a way to kidnap their own child out of that system. They took her to Germany. Now the parents are wanted for kidnapping by the FBI.
Jeez.
Okay, they took their daughter for months or maybe a year. I don't know how long it was. The next thing I saw that the little girl was completely healed of this brain tumor. That was the last thread I found on this. And now the conundrum was, what do they do about the parents being wanted on the wanted list for kidnapping? That was the last thread of this. But the girl was healed. But this is the system that we are in.
Well, that's why
I'm just saying.
That's why I get so frustrated when I see those commercials, because all these years and all the study that I've done on science, and I see that there's other alternatives out there that aren't not even being looked at. Matter of fact, I had this experience with a family member recently that I told everybody about how oxygen therapy could have saved this person's life. But yet the doctors, whenever I confronted them about it, said, hey, you know, have you looked into this? Most of them didn't even know what it was, and those who did hadn't done enough research in it to even realize what I was saying. But I took the time to investigate and print out all the information necessary, links, testimonials, and give this to these doctors. But you know that they did not take any time to research that, look it up. They probably, once I handed the stack of paper, went around the corner and just threw it in the doggone trash. And it's a shame, because there's a lot of people that could benefit from that if they prove it with one patient and they can actually get it approved in their doggone hospital. There could be a whole lot of people benefiting from that type of treatment, and it's a natural treatment. It's just the way that they scientifically pressurize the chamber and put oxygen in there, and it gets every. I explained it in graphic detail how this actually works.
It's hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Yeah. And they did.
And you know, my friend, a friend of mine who had lymphoma, the first attack of lymphoma, she went through the system, the medical system, that nearly killed her with the chemo. Okay, but it put it into remission. 4 years later, it returned. She decided not to go with the medical system. She went through all alternative methods, and hyperbaric oxygen was one of them, plus food and, you know, various other natural ways, and she healed herself.
Yep.
There's so many stories like this, folks, but people, here's the thing. If you've been brainwashed to believe in the authorities, it takes a big amount of courage to go against, because your daughter or your son could be taken from you, or you would be going against the authorities, the system, and even your own family will go against you, say, you can't do that, the doctors know best, right?
Yeah, that's the scary part about the whole deal, because there's more information out there available. These doctors have been through college indoctrination, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they have rules and regulations per hospital, and if something ain't approved in that hospital, they can't use it. However, there's a lot of drugs that are test drugs, because essentially that the EPA, not the EPA, the Food and Drug is FDA, allows, you know, medicine to use, and they'll try them on you. If it don't work, they'll go to another one. If you have, they have a long list of side effects on there. That ought to be a warning sign to a doctor that maybe you might not want to give somebody who's already suffering from this ailment something that could potentially give them other side effects that are going to be worse. So if it's causing you harm, it's not the right thing to use. And that chemotherapy, you can't radiate the doggone immune system and expect the immune system to be strong and be able to fight off diseases. So while they're giving you the chemotherapy, they're also giving you other immune boosters and stuff like that, trying to fight off any potential, you know, bacterias or, you know, viruses that might attack you while you're going through that process. So, you know, it's counterproductive. So if you put something on the table that could be, you know, less side effects and more natural, and they're not willing to use it, that ought to tell you something. There's a reason why they wouldn't want you to be able to heal each other, or you know, there's a lot of money in medicine. These doctors, they're getting kickbacks for, you know, how many samples they try on their patients or whatever like that. Between the doctor's office and the doggone medical, the drug industry out there, they've got one heck of a thing going on. You know, why cure the common cold? If you want to sell cold medicine, you obviously don't want people to know there's natural remedies for colds, you know. What happened before all this system was in place? What did the Native Americans use for medicine? How did they manage to live so many years in places like China or Japan? All the natural things that they had found throughout the deal. And here's the kicker. When you go from natural to synthetic is something that the chemistries put together that makes a stronger version of something that was already natural. So they're using natural things and they're turning it into something that's basically an abomination to nature, and it's making you sick. So if you had left it alone to begin with and used the natural healing of a plant or whatever prior to ever even tampering with it, you would have been able to receive those benefits. That's what I'm trying to say, but that doesn't make money if everybody knows they can go out there in their backyard and pick a plant and use it for anti-itching or something like that, you know? So that's what the whole deal is. Everything that we're talking about, the fact that they're allowing children to suffer through chemotherapy instead of using, you know, natural things, like 90% of all the diseases out there occur because of oxygen deprivation. It's not getting enough oxygen. You know, when you get cancer and you get this mass, a knot, for some reason, whether it be like you got some sort of material that your body can't break down and it starts to coat it up like a pearl would, you know, like an oyster makes a pearl, and that mass grows bigger and starts to press down on vital organs, it shuts the oxygen off to that vital organ. Now that your kidney's starting to fail. And from that point, when your kidney starts to swell up, everything is backing up in your system, and whatever's next in line is going to start to fail. But instead of doctors understanding that and trying to track it all the way back to the origin of what is actually causing this disease, then they just want to go radiate or chop it out. There's a doctor out there that wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. I think her name's Lorraine Day. I never can get that straight. But anyway, if you look it up, yes, it's Dr. Lorraine Day. Look it up. She wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. And she explains in that book on how your body's a chemistry set. But when it comes to the medical community, as conspiratorial as it sounds, and most doctors might even not even understand that it is a conspiracy. People want to make money. They want to sell you what they call fossil fuel, so they tell you there ain't very much of it, and we got to conserve, and the prices go up and down by how much we got on the market or how much we have available or whatever. Same thing with medicines. You get medicines out there, some of these prices of medicines will scare you to death. If you didn't have heart problems before, you definitely have them after you got the bill. And if it weren't for insurance companies having everybody else pay that bill for you so that they can make money off of it, there's a scam in itself. So you got to buy insurance so that you can afford these pills that are astronomically high, and they're hollering about, we got to get our health care under control. It's all about the money, folks. So we got somebody here, but we got a lot of static involved in it.
Hello.
Ah. Hi, Patty.
Hey, what's going on?
Everything.
Is that communication from another realm?
Yeah, that's Barbara talking from the next dimension.
I'm on my ship, actually.
Yeah, and it's that...
You said don't get on the ship.
Well, Barbara. My ship. I didn't say don't get on the ship. You get on my ship.
All right, so... You know, like I said, there's solutions out there available, but, you know, until people are willing to, you know, get away from authority long enough to research what we're talking about, it's just going to be status quo. They're going to still sell you cold medicine, even though there's a natural cure for it. They're going to still sell you what they call fossil fuel, even though you can make it out of grass clippings. It doesn't matter. If you don't understand, you know, science and nature and physics and basic mechanics, then you're going to go to somebody who does understand it. Normally, we've been taught that if this person got a white coat on, outside of the nut house, that is, but if they got a white coat on and maybe a stethoscope, they've been through a lot of training, so they know what they're talking about. So when they tell you you're going to go home and die, well, you believe it and you go home and die. But those that don't, those that refuse to believe it and go out and get a second or a third opinion, and then even when that, they don't like the opinions that they got and they refuse to die, they go out and seek out what we've been talking about all along, and then they suddenly have miraculous cures. And then when they try to tell people about it, of course, there you go. Once again, it's that never-ending cycle. You're going to get debunked or trolled or whatever, you know. How many holistic doctors, Patty, do you think, you know, went by the wayside because they had something to share?
Well, yeah, plenty, plenty. And you know, the thing about doctors today is they go through this medical school, but medicine is changing every year, something new. It's impossible to keep up with it, so they don't. What they do is they refer to their computers, and they talk to other people on there, and they have reference guides that says, okay, they've got this symptoms, what is it that I'm going to do for this? And the computer tells them, this is what you do for this. Because even doctors can't keep up with the things that are coming out. So they're working in ignorance. Half of them don't even realize what they're prescribing. They only know that the computer told them that's what they do for the symptoms that are being presented to them, you know?
Yeah.
I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and I went in there, and I had to explain to the doctor and the nurse what mitral valve prolapse was. Now, this is something that's been around forever, so it's not but because on the chart it was listed as MVP instead of mitral valve prolapse, they couldn't figure it out. This is a doctor and a nurse, and I had to tell them what it was, and the doctor says, that's a new acronym I'm going to have to remember. And I thought, what the frick am I doing here? You know, why am I here? Because if you know more than the doctors do about your own health, if the doctors have to refer to a computer to tell them what to prescribe for these specific symptoms, then you've already lost control of your health, because you're letting somebody who doesn't even know what the acronym is for something that's been around forever, you know, it just struck me as odd. And the reason I have to go to the doctor is because I'm going through retirement right now, and it's one of the things I have to do. And if you hear in the background, that's Mark. He's snoring, so sorry about that, guys.
At least he's
comfortable. It's not a bear.
At least he's comfortable.
But it just seems so odd that I have a doctor here, and he's like a maybe a second year resident. You know, he's a young guy, and he's just coming on the scene. But he's being indoctrinated into this new system of medicine that says that you don't have to know everything. The computer tells you everything you need to know. So you just find out what the symptoms are. You come back to me, you plug that into me, and I'm going to tell you what to do for this patient. But they've taken out a lot of, you remember when you went to the doctor and he gave you a physical and he asked you questions the whole time about how you were feeling, what this did, how your mobility was, where you sleep, all the different questions that he used to surmise what could possibly be the problem. That's when medical doctors actually did their own work and tried to figure out what the issue was, when they were trying to cure instead of treat a symptom. Well, they can't do that anymore because pharmaceutical companies, they own it all, and they want you to prescribe medications. They don't want a cure. They want you to prescribe. And doctors have no choice. Either you do it their way or you're out the door. So we got a system that's set up that's, it's not going to let a doctor heal, even if a doctor wants to heal. You know?
Yeah,
it's a system that's backwards and upside down.
It makes money. You know, there's a lot of money in healthcare. Now, I'm not saying that there's all doctors are bad. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But the system that they are stuck in puts limitations on them. For one, they take the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. And so my thought is, if you got a patient that is already in the last stages of anything, and you've already exhausted all your medicine that you can possibly use, what kind of harm is it at that stage in the game to try something natural to benefit them? I mean, at that stage, what do you got to lose? Like, for example, in Texas, they got a lot of hyperbaric oxygen treatments. And Oceanside, California, there were people that were going to get their legs or arms amputated that had gangrene. They used that treatment to reverse that gangrene. They healed it. The different stages and tumors, brain tumors, we're able to get rid of brain tumors. If you understand the mechanics of how that oxygen treatment works and you actually do the research in it, it makes sense. It gets your stem cells activated to do a job that is natural. It gets oxygen down into the plasma of the blood, which can then in turn get to the soft tissues and promote healing. And so they were able to heal diabetic ulcers and gangrene. And so either one of two things happening. Either these folks out there are lying on their testimonials saying, I still have my leg, or it really does work. In which case, the doctor that ignores that is basically ignoring his Hippocratic Oath by not even attempting to at least look into it. You see what I'm saying? If they're not even willing to entertain any possibility when they're already at the stages where, you know, we got one choice. We're going to chop your leg off. You know, you could save that leg. You could save that person's life just by listening to what science has proven, what medicine has proven. know, it's not the standard. But I guarantee you, you're going to see a time when those oxygen treatment deals, they already got home versions of them. The actresses and actors use them for anti-aging. The football players and athletes out there use them to promote quick healing so they can get back out there on the ball field again. And so there's something to it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. They spend lots of money.
Well, the thing of it is they have lots of money.
Yeah.
People like the normal people like us who have to have insurance or whatever, insurance won't pay for it. Doctor's not going to do it.
Nope.
You know?
And insurance is a scam.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the insurance isn't going to pay for it, you're not going to get it unless you sell your house, unless you sell everything you have, and you put everything into this, you know, it's a big system, and it doesn't work for us, you know.
Well, if it was there for our benefits, and what things we're saying would already be mainstream, we wouldn't have to sit here and say this all the time. And so, you know, this is what's important about this show and many others, is that we bring all this information to the table and let you decide. You know, if somebody asks me about chemotherapy, they tell me I got cancer, I guarantee you, I'm on the bandwagon already of alternative medicine because I've seen the results of chemotherapy.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm still hearing. It sounds like Morse code.
Really? I don't hear anything.
Check your microphone plug, Barbara.
Why? I don't hear anything.
Oh, well.
My mic?
It's buzzing on our side.
Well, I don't know. Check my microphone plug. Well, it's in. It's beeping. I'm talking to you. Everything's fine.
Well,
I don't know.
We can live with it. All
right. I don't know.
You ladies got
it's this? The aliens trying to communicate.
You ladies got
I
this for a minute?
I think so.
Huh.
Yep.
All right, good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, sis. We got it. Got it.
Hey, I want to read something out that Gregory, you know, Gregory is always in the Knights of the Round Table.
Okay.
For the show, he's in the chat, and he always puts on, he's a poet, and he knows it, but he always writes these very apropos little poems, and he puts them up when we're talking, and when you and when you and Shaz were talking
Jazz,
earlier.
Gaz, they're all the same.
Yeah. He put this up, so I'm going to read it, and it says, How is the name of the poem. How can I trust when you always lie to me? How can I trust when you will not let me be? How can I sleep when you always cause me pain? How can I dream when you keep me under strain? How can I find peace when you roar at me like thunder? How can I breathe when your pressure keeps me under? How can I stand when you take my strength away? How can I go on when you're like this every day? How can I find hope when you take it all away? How can you relate to what you do to me? How can you not know that I'm living to break free? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he says, to build a better world, we need a firm foundation, and every foundation starts with a cornerstone. So I had an idea of the Cornerstone of Life Project, real basic human rights worldwide, and Earth gets counted as a person so that big business can be charged with crimes against the planet. See,
actually,
the thing of it is...
Actually, Earth has been counted as a person.
Right, and it's going to be used against us. But
yeah.
this is the thing, is that we've got to stop thinking that we have to change the world. We have to change ourselves. We have to change the way we look at life and each other and what we find as important in our life. If we all know that there are better healing modalities out there, but that we are being kept in the box of the medical system.
Right.
And we don't do anything about that. We don't create change. And if we create change for ourselves, but the rest of the world is ill, then nothing changes. We have to have a new mindset. These are all my opinions. I'm not trying to say that we have to do these things. To me, I do believe that we have to have a change. That we have to have a change of the way we look at life, the way we respect life, the way we look at each other and what we find important
right.
to us. You know, as long as we keep playing the game, I don't think that we're ever going to get anywhere. And the game is all encompassing everywhere. You can't get away from it. The game is the system, and the system is the game, you know?
Well, he's speaking to the system with his poem there. It's a good poem, but I look at it in a different way. It's sort of like I'm not going to give them the power. It's sort of like, how can you not know that I'm living to very free? They don't know, and they don't want to know. Just say, I am living. I'm breaking free. You know, you're not going to take my strength away. You know, they are going to be like this every day. That's their program. That's how can I find hope when you take it all away? Nobody takes our hope away. I have a great faith and a great hope innate within me. You know, if without hope, without our coming to connect with that hope and that faith, yeah, they're going to run us. They're going to rule us, you know. I'm just saying, I can find peace within myself. Nobody can take that peace from me. It's my free will, you know? And I have to trust. That is my connectedness. I have to trust and have faith. Yeah, they're working hard to not let us be who we are. But are we going to let them win? I'm not going to let them win. I'm just not. You know, so I'm just saying, This is a personal response to this cabal, this elite. We know what they're doing. We know this game. They don't give a crap. So how can I find peace? I can find peace within myself. Nobody's going to take that away. Nobody. And they will continue to roar at me like thunder. They can do that. So I'm just saying, I see this in a different way. You know, and I appreciate his, Gregory writes beautiful poems, actually. So I'm just going to, you know, give out that as my, we are all being inundated. And I guess we have free will. Nobody can take your peace away, your inner peace, if that's what you choose. Nobody can take your free will away. Nobody can make you hopeless or helpless. Unless you allow that, unless you believe that you are, they want you to believe that you are hopeless and that everything is helpless. This is the plan. That's the whole point. Just saying.
I posted a link in there for that Dr. Lorraine Day if anybody wants to check her out and read some of her stuff. And so hopefully.
I actually posted a video of Lorraine Day, Dr. Lorraine Day.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I found a video.
But those kind of treatments like that, you know, you put your conspiracy theory hat on and try to figure out why it is that like for example, when I talk in mad science about how we could be running cars on water, you know, because it's a perfect fuel. People say, well, if it was that easy, they would already be doing it. Well, not really, because every industry, doesn't matter which industry you talk about, that has to do with auto-related. People who sell tires is basically in bed with the petroleum, because they're made out of petroleum products. Everything, plastic, anything car-related. And, you know, if you're selling cars and you're engineering cars, you're going to have some sort of talk with these people, because if you put a car out there that gets a ridiculous amount of miles per gallon, that's going to affect the people on the other side of the fence that, you know, are selling fuel. they obviously don't want you to make a car that runs really super efficient, otherwise you can't sell fuel. So think about it logically. Whether it be the food industry or the health industry or any of these industries, the whole bottom line is to make money. You got planned obsolescence for things that have to break down so you can buy more. And that's how the system works. So there's a lot of things out there that we could be doing that we're not doing because the system hasn't put it mainstream. The authority hasn't told you that it's possible. Instead, it's tell you things that the laws of thermodynamics or physics or whatever go against a hydrogen based fuel system or whatever. Even though, if you go back to science again, the facts are there. They say that water is hydrogen and oxygen, and you know separated, both of them are powerful. But nonetheless, that's where we're at. And when the medical industry and all of the mainstream science and engineering, the people who have the machinery, corporations, companies, governments, all that, when they have access to the same knowledge we got, and we're sitting here asking the question, why is it that we're not using this? Well, it's blatantly obvious. We're not using this because it's not financially plausible for them to stay in power. If every one of us has the capability of walking over and putting our hand on somebody and believing that we're healing them and they actually get healed, you can't sell drugs. Why go to the doctor? You can go to your friend over there. Hey, I need some energy. Can you help me out here? You see what I'm saying? However ridiculous it sounds is because you were told that it was ridiculous from the get-go. That's why they don't want you to know who you are, what you are, how powerful you are. They want you to believe that you're helpless. And in the process of that, look how many people in this world are depressed. Look how many people in this world self-medicate. You know, look how something as simple as a comment that I mentioned earlier, you know, how I got unsubscribed, something as simple as a comment could bring out a 20-minute explanation of why it is I disagree with what this person said to me. And I'm trying to help the world out, and I get attacked. If you try to do something nice on your side, you're going to find out you're going to get attacked. It's just that simple. We try to bring each other together. You know, people might call us radicals. I tell you, you two ladies are the most radical people that I've ever met in my life. You got any explanation for yourselves?
Barbara did it.
No. It's like, well, you're a powerful influencer, Miss, my sister. She pulled me into this.
Oh, you
blame her.
You got sucked into peer pressure.
Yeah, it was peer pressure. It was peer pressure.
I guess, well, I could say she identified herself with me, right, sis?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, and we're just two old ladies, you know, that aren't afraid to speak our mind. But there's so many out there like us. Fuchsia's is half the people in the dang chat.
Yeah, exactly. Here's
the deal, is that we still subscribe to parts of society because there's, you know, in order to step out, in order to make the change that really counts, we have to be unified with each other. We didn't get here on our own. We all incrementally added our little pieces to the pot, and if we understand and we understand that we're all a part of the puzzle, then, you know, to me, we have to be able to support each other. We have to be able to, like, if I step out here in my community, I will get some people who will agree with me. But the majority who are still in the dark are going to fight us tooth and nail because the system is all they have. And they haven't seen things the way I have. So this is the issue that I have, is that we know, you know, we've all come here for years and we've done the research and we know what is the issues. What are the issues? We know what we are. We know the potential that we have. It's just all we've got right now is voice. Because if I go out into my community, which I have, I get maybe two people in a group of 10 that will agree with me. And the others, they don't even have comprehension. What do you mean something's wrong?
That's right. You know? Yeah. I think, well, two is good. Two is a pretty good percentage, actually, considering what's going on, sis, you know? It's like I used to say, well, I had this, I guess I'd say I had a bit of arrogance early on, thinking that, you know, hey, like you said, I've done research, I see things differently, as you also, and I was able to see the wrongs or the vibrations around people of confusion and a sense of loss, and also a sense of being controlled. You know, and so when you speak about that and people look at you like, what are you talking about, you know? I used to say, well, I'm not reaching enough people. I'm not doing enough, you know? And I tried to hide the things that I knew very early on because people would really attack you, you know? That's because it's out of fear or confusion. It's also based on what they've been programmed to believe, you know, or not to believe. And I realized at this stage in my life that why would I not speak what I feel would be the truth that might help, and I double-check if it is energetically, frequency-wise, a light rather than a dark. So that's my discernment. And to see, like, I'm here to offer what I can. I can't change people. I can only offer what I can. Like you say, we have our voice. That's what we have right now. You can't hit people over the head. But I guess I stopped defending myself and explaining myself years ago, because that doesn't work either. And I'm betraying myself. And I think that our voices, yes, yeah, some people are not going to be able to hear. It's not that they might not want to hear. They're not going to be able to hear or even comprehend. That's the system that has really severely brainwashed these people and controlled these people, and that's what we're looking at. So I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm not frustrated anymore, and I realize that I have to back up and hone down my expectations of my brothers and sisters, and I have to really recognize and identify how severely people have been controlled.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not perfect by all means. I can see and I experience the controlling factors as well. You know, I've learned how to identify the frequency or the energy coming at me as not mine. It's like a weird, freaky, strange thought runs through your head. Now, if you're not alert to the frequency of that, or even question, wait a second, what is that? I'll say, instead you just accept it, and then it runs you, or rules you, or runs through your head over and over again. So these are things we're learning about how we are subjected and affected by the systems, you know, ability through technology and so on to affect our minds, to control our minds and our thoughts and our emotions. So these are things we're learning, right, sis?
Well, yeah, and when I first started out, you know, I had this grandiose vision of I would come out and I would tell people what I found, and I would show them what was really going on, and people would stand up and they would say, look what's going on. And I in my mind, I thought, you know, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to wake these people up. You know, I had this impression that, you know, you've heard it, the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
And so when I first came into this, this is how I was. I alienated so many people. Because I thought that all I had to do was tell them the truth as I saw it. Now I realize that, you know, my truth belongs to me. And even though it may be correct, even though I may have some answers, that it goes nowhere as long as the individual that I'm speaking to refuses to see that. And they're not good or bad. You know, it's because they have been raised in a system that has been kind to them. In other words, this system has provided them with what they need. And people are afraid. They're afraid to leave the system. I understand this now. And I see why they are afraid to leave this system. Because this system is all they have between them and nothing. And I'm here, an individual with a voice, and I'm alone. You know, like I said, out of 10 people, I've got just a few who see things. So this is the world in which we live. This is the real world in which we live. We're not up against ideologies. We're up against the fear in people's hearts. We're up against the fear in people's minds and their attachments to what they feel is their security. If you can't provide them with a new way that is that they can see that they will be secure in their health and their mind and their heart and their families, how can you ever expect them to you know, see things your way? I've got people here that live across the street that are totally dependent on the system.
Right.
To provide them with their help, to provide them with their food, to provide them with utilities. That's how deeply they are in the system. How can I possibly go over there and say, hey guys, the system is hurting me. You need to step away and have them understand what I'm saying.
I think the best that we can do at this stage in what we're doing is to find those of like minds and work with them and, you know, basically lead by example. You know, when you build things in your community and others see that it works, and it might even be to help those people you're talking about across the street there, Patty, because if it turns out to be you guys together can create some sort of you know, business or financial thing that would help to take care of everything, then, you know, and that's possible. Because if you actually just look at the waste alone in every society, don't matter which, whether you're in high society or, you know, smaller down there, there's materials, raw materials that we throw in the trash all the time. And if we had ways by which we could actually turn that trash into a usable resource, which is scientifically provable, we can turn everything that we've got that we normally throw away into a useful resource. We can actually turn it into cash. But until people start realizing that that's something that you can't just do by yourself, you're not going to get rich off of your trash, obviously. But if you took that trash and you recycled it as a community and you shared in the benefits and the profit of that, then everybody would benefit by, number one, cleaning your community up. Number two, you don't have the issues of landfills anymore. You're taking what normally would have been trash and you're turning it into energy for electricity or whatever. And everything starts off as just a small supplement to what you've already got. But you don't even have to get out of the system in order to start that process. And then down the line, eventually, your system outgrows their system. Does that make any sense, how I'm trying to explain that?
Well, I want to continue to what I realized with what I realized about this because of my expectation of my fellow humans, my sisters and my brothers. And I had to hone back my expectations, like I said, because I realized everyone is on their own journey. Everyone will learn or grow or awaken according to where they are or where maybe their agreement, you know, will allow that. Yeah. I realized that I'm a seed planter. I came to realize that. So a person who plants seeds speaks their truth, plants the seed, whatever it's going to be, and then lets that seed go. You don't stand in the garden and scream at your seeds to grow. You know that the earth is going to do her part. You know the rains and the sun is going to do their part. That little seed is going to grow according to its own timeline.
Yep.
And it may grow to be a beautiful, beautiful plant. or it may wither and it may not ever make it. And that's the same thing with a seed planter. If I plant the seed from my heart spirit, okay, in truth and honesty and from love and compassion, if I plant that seed and I just continue on my journey planting more seeds with prayers and, you know, keeping a focus on the seed that I planted, it will grow or not. It's not for me to force that seed to grow. So in people, I feel that we continue. That's why we're here. We continue to use our word and our heart spirit and our compassion and our love for our brothers and sisters and for all of creation. This is what we're doing. And we're not commanding. We're not demanding anybody believe us or what, you know, or follow us or anything. We're just planting seeds. And you... it will either touch you or not.
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. You know, when I first got this land out there, this land actually looked really sick. You know, it had been abused. It'd been used for a dump. And I started cleaning up on this land, and I'd go out and there'd be like people who had fruit trees out there. When the apples fell on the ground, and you know they were rotten, people weren't going to use them for human consumption anymore. I grabbed up a bag of these things and peaches and apples and stuff like that, and then I went out there on the land and I threw them out there, you know, the whole entire apple, the whole entire peach, I threw them out there on the land and just forgot about them. I've got multiple peach trees now from that process, and all I did was allow nature to do what nature does best. You know, it's going to rot the rotted one, and that seed will get down into the dirt, and then between the cold and the springtime, it'll crack the seed and open it up, and the little sprout will come out. Next thing you know, years later, we got peach trees where we never had them before. And as I've worked this land a little bit at a time, it's almost like the land starts to love you back. It starts to reward you for all your efforts. And then, on the same sense, if I begin to neglect the land, nature takes back what you don't use, you know? And so we got so many possibilities that we could be doing if we only understood we're not necessarily in control of everything. Like Barbara's saying, you plant that seed, walk away, and let nature do what nature does best. That's the best job we could do. Now I've got peaches that people can, that they can, get, you know, food from, that they can enjoy, you know, and I did my job way back then. And now I get to see the fruits of my labor. I planted some peach trees. I didn't even throw them in any specific. I just threw them on the outskirts of, on my property line. I went around, I threw a whole bunch of bags of wildflower seeds. And every year something surprises me, something else pops up. I mean, it's just beautiful. But I learned how, you know, to let nature do what nature does and work in harmony that way. And it'll surprise you how much you can actually accomplish with something that essentially used to be a dump. They put trash everywhere. They turned this piece of land, this beautiful piece of earth, into something that was terrible. It was sick. You know, and now I'm seeing flowers, I'm seeing bees, I'm seeing birds and deer and rabbits and all the different animals you can think about. They just love this place. And it's really nice. You know, and I think we could do that to the rest of the world just by these shows that we're talking about. These words that are coming out of our mouth may not seem significant at this point in the game, but... you know, I know you ladies have probably experienced this at some point. You've said something on the show that you're pretty sure was an original thought that you shared with the world, and then you heard later on somebody else repeating that. So that message did get out. Whether it initially originated from you or initially originated from a source or somebody else of the same mindset, somehow or another you spoke those words into existence, and then later down somebody else repeated that.
We've seen that happen over and over again, and we have something called the collective consciousness that oftentimes, you know, you'll be, I'll tell you this little thing that happened the other night. I had a dream the other night. I was looking out my east window and there was a rainbow in the sky. And I thought, oh my God, look at how beautiful that rainbow is. That was the dream. the next day I was talking to my friend who lives up north from me, and a storm was coming in and so on and so forth, and I said, oh, I had a dream the other night. I looked out my east window and there was a beautiful rainbow in the sky. And she said, well, she said, I saw that. I saw a rainbow. I was standing at my east, I was standing in my doorway facing east, and I saw this beautiful rainbow, and I thought of you.
Wow.
I thought, oh, she said, she actually said, oh my God, what a beautiful rainbow. I think, you know, Barbara would love to see this rainbow.
That's amazing. And you did.
Yeah. Oh. And I did. But I saw it. Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. It's like, and she said the same exact words I did. I said, oh my God, look at that beautiful rainbow. She said, oh my God, look at that beautiful rainbow.
Huh. That is so
I'm
awesome.
Just saying, but the collective consciousness, because we are all connected energetically, and we don't even realize how connected we are. You could have somebody come into your mind, and so much like you could say, well, I'm going to call, I'm thinking of you, let me call. So you call them and they say, oh, I was just thinking of you, right? I mean, we've all experienced these things.
Yep.
So this is how the seed planting works, because we are all connected. So what you speak about will go out into the ethers through the energetic waves that flow out from you. Okay, the same thing, words, emotions, acts, everything you do moves out from you and touches all in creation. And in some places it's going to stick, in other places it's going to bypass.
Well, you know, earlier I talked about being unsubscribed, but if all I ever accomplish in this world is planting a seed that does something positive in this world, I think I did a good job. I'm
well, that's what you were doing. I had to come to that conclusion myself. I had to kind of like shut my mind up about, you're not touching enough people, you're not changing enough people, you're not, you know, affecting. I had to stop that nonsense and realize, okay, I'm a seed planter. I have to do my job. If I touch one person, it's going to be awesome, and that's, I did something, okay? So that's why I said to Patty, I said, you have two people, that's a pretty good record.
Yeah.
In my estimation.
Well, I tell you what, that is, that if you can get just two people, then you've done more than enough. Because they say there's like a 6 degree of separation, that everybody's connected by, you know, 6 other people or whatever, that you somehow or another either related to them or family or friends.
Yes, yeah, so those two people that you connected with, sis, they're going to share that, what you have given them.
Yep, and they may only get two, but those two will go out and do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
So, yeah.
So,
is Patty still on with us?
Yeah, she's still here. She's got a
okay.
mic muted.
I'm here. I'm listening.
So that gives me more inspiration and hope just looking at it like that. It's amazing how powerful your words are, Barbara, that you can actually say things that give me a whole complete different perspective on what it is that I'm looking at things. I do sometimes honestly get frustrated when I see comments like that because I don't get it. I don't understand. If you spend 2 years watching somebody and you're not satisfied, it usually wouldn't take me 2 years, probably 2 days or 2 weeks max, and I'm going to go find the better information out there. But if you're not interacting with somebody and getting involved, if you've got access to this chat that we got going on here, the round table, if you've been invited to the deal, to put your opinion in there, and you don't take the extra effort to get there or show up in a chat room and put a message down, how are we ever going to know? You know? And now somebody's upset because I didn't respond to them. Maybe it was a case of their email. You could be one letter off in an email and nobody ever sees the email. You sent it a million times, but you didn't check to see that there was a mailer daemon come back and say, wait a second, there's something wrong with your address. We can't deliver this message or whatever. So there's all kinds of factors that play in there that reason why we're not able to contact each other. But I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for people to join this round table. I mean, how many times have we invited people for everything under the sun? If somebody got something to say, and even if you don't want to talk on the radio, heck, jump in the chat room. We look in those chat rooms and we find things in there to say that people, Patty just got to reading Buzz's poem out there. He might not have otherwise got heard, but she just read it for him. You know? And she does it with a beautiful voice, too, so it makes it even more special. He wrote it from the heart, she spoke it from the heart, and that would become a powerful thing that, you know, affected everybody in these rooms. It's
another seed passed on.
That's it. I love this show.
I love this show, too. I love you.
I love both of you. I love everybody.
I love everybody.
It's just...
Yeah, it's like, I think that, to me, I think that when we meet these circumstances, you know, I've tried to really learn from them. I've tried to not take it personally, because I know, you know, I'm learning more and more about people, how they have been manipulated and controlled. You know, I certainly have been there to some degree. I'm not perfect. I'm trying to learn from these types of experiences where people will attack or people will negate you, and, you know, and I don't take it personally. I used to take it very personally, and I used to spend days on it. Don't spend days on it. It's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
And it's actually meant to distract you and put your energy in the despairing space, you know, don't get to that.
And in reality, you're not going to change somebody's mind who's already made up, you know. If they've already
But you're
made
planting
their,
seeds. I'm yeah. gonna, still going to stick by the seed planting system, because it is, so you are still planting those seeds. That person at this moment may be resistant or not realizing it. Again, it's left up to Creator, I feel, whether that seed is going to grow within that person. Could be
another
much
thing.
Later. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing is that people have stopped questioning. They just accept. Authority says, therefore, it must be. And I think that is what seed planting does. If anything, it allows people to begin questioning. It gives them another perspective.
Right.
And if they are open, then they start to question and they say, well, wait a minute. Okay, I don't know if I can subscribe to what you just said, but what you said poses a question to me. And take a look at, you know, we have a system that's set up now that's telling us that the earth is being ravaged and that we have an onus to that, and it's all our fault. Yet when you pose the question of why aren't the corporations being brought to task? Why aren't the corporations that are promoting these systems of destruction and devastation and ill health, why are they not being question. Why are they not being brought to do the right thing? Why are they not being brought to change what they're doing? And if we ask that question, that takes us on a different tack of the system is good. Because then we have to look at it and we can see that, wait a minute, the system has taught us that nature has to be protected. But it's also telling us at the same time that we're not a part of nature, that we are the culprit of nature, that we must fear nature, that we must go with the science that is being given at hand. When we look into this, we see that there are questions that don't align, valid questions that don't align with these systems.
Well, the question that
in itself.
The question I got out of all of that, what you just mentioned, was also is why are the people who have any alternatives, you know, basically solutions, under attack constantly? Not just by the system,
right,
but by the people.
Well, you have a medical system that says you can't trust nature. And then you have the government saying that nature is the do-all, be-all of life. Well, we know that's true. But what the system is telling us is that we have to support nature and protect nature. Well, we are nature. We are nature. We're not being protected. We're not being supported. We're being taken away from nature. We're being told that we must take our hands off of nature. Herbalism is a bad thing. Do not treat yourself with herbs. come to the system and inundate yourself within the system. How does that jive?
Do you know what's crazy about that, Patty? Is that saying do not treat yourself with herbs, but the thing is, everything that is modern medicine that's pill related, it all came from nature. They just did it in an unnatural deal to basically turn it into a synthetic product, as opposed to what they should have just left it alone naturally and used that by itself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the thing of it is that people are getting sicker and sicker and sicker in the system.
Yeah.
You know? Yet, if you step out of that system, homeopathy, holistic, all of these different names and titles that they give, this one's good, that one's bad, you know, subscribe to this one, not to that one, it'll hurt you, you know. And yet we have people, millions upon millions of people, who can tell you that, no, that nature cured me. These are cures that nature provides. And the simple fact of it, when you say to somebody, do you realize that your health is only conducive to the amount of nutrition that you ingest? They don't understand that. They don't understand that. The hardest thing I have to explain to the people that I know here is that your nutrition is your health. That is the cure. And you find nutrition in nature. That's the only place you find it. But people cannot latch on to that because they've been told that, no, if I take these herbs, it'll hurt me. You know, and when you break it down and you say, if you look at an herb and you look at it in the scientific sense, it's nutrients. It's not anything other than vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that are combined in each plant. And that those nutrients and vitamins and minerals are what your body makes medicine out of to feed the body so that the body can heal. And it's such a hard thing for them to grasp. And I've had the hardest time convincing people that if they change their diets, if they provide themselves with wholesome, with the life that they're in, plants into their diet that it can make the change. But it's, you know, it's so hard now because what's the most expensive thing out there? It's, you know, the most expensive thing out there is organic. The most expensive thing out there is food with the life they're in. They make it harder and harder. So they're not only up against this bulwark information from system that says no, that's bad, but they're also up against this monetary system which says even if you subscribe to the wholesomeness of food as being your medicine, you're not going to be able to afford it. You know, you can tell people, well, you can grow your soil and you can grow your plants. They can't do that, right? So this is the way, it's a mindset. It's a mindset that people over the decades and centuries have been manipulated to think that they are less than who they are, that they are somehow separate from nature, that they are somehow above nature, that nature cannot provide for them, that they must fear nature because nature is a chaotic place. You know, there's a lot of danger out there. I get this from a lot of people. I got kids that don't want to take their shoes off and run in the grass. You know, I got parents that don't want their children out running in a fallow field because there might be a danger out there. You know, and this is what we're up against. We're up against a system that teaches us that the adverse effects are in nature, not in medicine. So we get sicker, we get sicker, we get sicker, you know? It's a big psyop. It's a gigantic psyop. And the mass of people are part of this PSYOP and indoctrinated into it. They won't allow their children to be healthy. They think that McDonald's provides nutrition because the sign at McDonald's says, this is healthy food for you, you know? How do you get around that? You don't. You don't. Like Barb said, the only thing we can do is keep talking about it, keep showing it, keep, you know, providing solutions and saying, you know, whether you're being heard or not, we have to just continue speaking the truth.
Click on that link that I sent you in Skype there. That's related to what you're talking about.
Okay, go in there now. My computer is kind of like limping on its last leg here.
Yeah, I'm working on duct tape and baling wire myself. But
yes.
I used to make a joke about this because I said, if you ever want to make a bomb, go down the snack section and check out all the chemistry that's in the snacks. It'll blow your doors off. But what do you think of that?
Yes, and you know, I tell people all the time, just look on a package of food, and if you see there are more chemicals than your list of vitamins and minerals, that should tell you, you know, that this product is not nutritious, that you're not getting, you know, everything, like the high fructose corn syrup. You know, people think that, okay, we can't have high fructose corn syrup, so I'm not going to buy a pop. Well, every product that you get is full of high fructose corn syrup. Every product. And the thing of it is that all of these are created through processes. Processes that will take the original nutrition, destroy it, and extract whatever's left. And that's what they'll put in food. It's like your flour, you know. People want to know why we have so much problems with people. They can't eat bread and stuff. Well, the first thing they do to flour is they kill everything in it. They kill the life of that flour. They process the nutrition out of it. So it's lifeless. It's dead. And that's what you're eating. Lifeless food.
Why don't you read that definition there on number four, the high fructose corn syrup?
The evil king of all refined grains is high fructose corn syrup. The amount of refined sugar we consume has declined over the past 40 years, but we're consuming almost 20 times as much high fructose corn syrup. According to researchers at Tufts University, Americans consume more calories from high fructose corn syrup than any other source. It's in practically everything. It increases triglycerides, boosts fat storing hormones, and drives people to overeat and gain weight. You know, and this is everything. It's like right here, the artificial sweeteners. Aspartame, NutraSweet, Equal, Saccharin, Sweetened Low Sugar, Sugar Twin, and Sucrose, Splenda, may be harder on our metabolic systems than plain old sugar. Of course they are. These supposedly diet-friendly sweeteners may actually be doing more harm than good. Studies suggest that artificial sweeteners trick the brain into forgetting that sweetness means extra calories, making people more likely to keep eating sweet treats without abandon. Nip it in the bud. But here's the thing, is that they also play a part on the organs in the body.
Yep.
They play a part on the brain. They change the body chemistry. And once you start ingesting these artificial and dead, lifeless compounds in the system, then the body chemistry changes. And once that body chemistry changes, it's like short-circuiting a system. And sooner or later, organs will begin to show the strain and the stress from not having the nutrition that they need and being attacked by these compounds. And once that happens, the body cannot heal itself if it does not have what it needs. And all the body has ever needed, ever, all the body will ever need is nutrition. That's the only thing that it uses. It's like your car. You have a reservoir for water. You have a reservoir for oil. If you took oil and you put it in the reservoir for water, it wouldn't work. If you took water and put it in the reservoir for oil, it wouldn't work because it's not made to run on those things. Your body is not made to run on these artificial and dead, lifeless compounds that is in everything that you ingest, you know, in processed food. It can't heal itself if it doesn't have what it needs to heal it. And it doesn't matter how many pharmaceuticals you put in there. It can trick the body, but it will only continue to add to the stress and the destruction of the organs and the chemistry within the body. And this is the way we're being, and this is why we're so sick. This is why we cannot get healthy, because we've walked away from the very thing that creates health for us. We've told our bodies that we will no longer give you what you need to heal. And so the body can't. You can't do it. You know? And this is where we are. But you can't convince people. You know, I can't even convince my son and daughter-in-law that my grandchildren don't need to eat at McDonald's. They don't need to eat at Pizza Hut. You know? I can't even convince them this. Because it's so much easier and the kids love it. Well, they love their McDonald's. They love their chicken nuggets. But they're not getting nutrition. They're not getting any nutrition. You know? And they're going to the doctors because they have rashes, because they have ear infections, because they're constantly getting sick. They have allergies. They have stomach issues. You know? And this is where we're at. This is where we're at.
Well, I think I'm going to post that on Facebook. I also posted it in the chat room on People for People because I wonder how many people would actually take the time to read that and understand. There's a lot of people that know a lot of junk food ain't good for you, but to what extent they know, that's the thing right there. I don't think that they're really well informed about it, but I wonder how many people would actually take the time to, knowing that this is not making them healthy, that would actually take the time to go out of their way to buy more healthier foods or cook more healthier foods. Because what you and Barbara always say all the time, Patty, is that you have to be held accountable for your own actions. You have to be personally responsible for your life because it's your life. And so if people aren't actually stepping out and taking the extra time to not only make themselves healthy but make their kids healthy by feeding them better stuff, then you're going to have all these deals right here, and that in itself is what helps to feed the system that is the Food and Drug Administration or the Health Department, all of the medical industries, the drug industries. They make money because you eat trash. Essentially, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, and here's another thing is they will always tell me, well, it's so expensive to eat healthy, and I tell them, well, it's more expensive not to eat healthy because you have to add the expense of your medications and your doctor visits to that unhealthy diet. And when you combine that, then you see that you're spending a heck of a lot more money on eating this dead, lifeless food than you would spending a little more to maintain your body's integrity by giving it what it needs.
You said something. And this is you said something earlier in the high fructose deal about how it drives people to overeating because they're actually making. It's almost like back when they had cigarettes with really high levels of nicotine. It would literally get you addicted. They did it intentionally to get you addicted. Same thing with junk food. You drink soda and your thirst isn't gone. You want more soda. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And you know why? if your body doesn't, your body is crying, constantly crying out for nutrition. It is constantly trying to tell you, please, please, please give me food. give me food with the life therein so that I can work properly. And what do? Instead of drinking water, we go get a pop. Instead of eating wholesome food, we go to McDonald's.
Yep.
You know?
But
we're not giving
too.
It. It's telling us it's hungry, but we keep giving it this dead, lifeless food, and we wonder why 15, 20 minutes later we're still hungry.
Yep.
What's the deal? You know, it's because your body didn't get what it needed.
A lot of it's convenience, too, because people get so doggone wrapped up in their busy life that they forget to take care of themselves and, you know, swing by McDonald's and grab some Big Macs or something like that, and it tastes really good. But then, you know, with all the chemistry and the doggone thing, you know, I don't know how many health food restaurants, if there was a fast food health restaurant that really sold organic foods and nothing that was processed or stuff like that, maybe more people would eat healthy. What do you think?
Well, if there was a new standard put out, if the FDA didn't have these big food corporations on its board and the Monsanto CEOs who left Monsanto now sitting at the head of the FDA, perhaps we could change that. Perhaps we could change the agricultural industry. But the industry itself has been geared to creating ill health simply by the chemicals and the processes to which they've started producing their foods. And we just think that, you know, that's just the way it is because we got to feed all these people. Well, when you look at a system that creates ill health but feeds everybody, what are you getting?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
A toxic mix, that's what you're getting. Well, folks, we got to start wrapping this up, but before I do that, I want to point something out. If you go look in cultures all around the world, mostly in farming communities where they don't have easy access to McDonald's and all the different snack junk foods, and you look at what they're eating, like my wife's side of the family, most of them are farmers, and they all ate natural vegetables that they grew in their gardens, and so, you know, they know the difference of what to put on their, you know, like chemistry or not spraying bug spray or pesticides on certain things or whatever, or cleaning up vegetables. But these folks have lived well into their 80s and 90s, and they're doing fine. Some of them's just as, what's the word I'm looking for when, you know, they're energetic. 90 years old and energetic, that's pretty impressive. But it, like over to Japan and China and places like that, that people have lived in farming communities and ate all natural things from the earth, they seem to have a lot longer lifespan. You know, so...
The Amish.
Yeah. That's a really good example there. But either way, folks, we started off talking about, you know, unsubscribed. And it wasn't necessarily, like I said before to everybody else, I am not here to become a YouTube star or a social media star or anything like that. That's not my purpose. I'm more along the lines of what Barbara and Patty's always talking about, wanting to be a seed planter and throwing those positive pebbles in the pond. So I took the time to put this platform together, and I wanted people to share in it. And then when I get a comment such as that, you know, and I'm trying to ignore somebody, I want to know people to know I'm not trying to ignore anybody. I invited everybody. I've even invited people who don't like what we have to say, or people who are in the scientific community, or senators, or congressmen, or I've even written presidents of the United States. I've written everybody and invited them to come sit down at the table with real people and talk about solutions, because they're constantly telling you there's a problem, and we're constantly under attack for trying to give the solution. If you're claiming that there's a problem, global warming, climate change, or whatever all that stuff is, or starvation in the world, or sickness in the world, then let's address the problem. Let's follow the trail from the symptoms to the actual cause, and let's fix it. There ain't no reason for people to be starving to death in a world that has given us so many blessings, so many benefits. We got resources that we don't even realize we have resources. And nature recycles everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Nature recycles it all. And if we could take and mimic what nature does instead of trying to do like groups like Monsanto do and trying to change what nature has already... You can't improve on nature. You're not that good. As smart as you may think you are, you're never going to be able to mimic the perfection of nature. And in the process of doing that, you make synthetic medicines that make people sick. If you give somebody a medicine and it has a side effect that could even kill them, then that's not a medicine. And that basically divides the whole Hippocratic oath to do no harm, you know. You're not healing. You're making things worse. But if we can't sit down and have an honest dialogue about how to resolve these problems, if we can't sit down and share this information with each other, if we can't get over the hurdles and the brick walls and the censorship and all that crazy stuff, then we also have to ask the question, why? Why can't we get this information out to the masses? Why can't people hear what it is we have to say? They said there was a problem. We're sitting here at the round table. We're addressing the problems. We're doing it in the most respectful manner that we know how. We're sharing links with each other. There's brilliant people that come to these chat rooms all the time that share more links, things that we never even knew. So every single day, Barbara's learning, I'm learning, Patty's learning, everybody who sits on this round table is learning something new every day. We all are, you know, not professionals in any given thing by itself, but we have access to the vast sum of all man's knowledge, and together we can find the solutions, we can find the truth. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. Bringing all these brilliant minds together so that we can resolve the problems and do it in a peaceful manner. You know, I'm just so tired of hearing all the negativity in the world. It's sad. It's depressing. It will grind you down. It's constantly like the straw that broke the camel's back happens every single day without fail. I'm teetering on the edge. I'm already frustrated from everything they tell me is wrong when I'm trying to tell them there's a solution, but nobody's hearing my words. And then here comes the straw that broke the camel's back, and now I'm over the edge. And Barbara reaches out and grabs my left arm, and Patty grabs my right and pulls me back up and says, oh, we got this. Don't worry. This is what it's all about, this unity that we got here at this little circle right here, and the unity we have in the chat room with People for People and Shaziz Radio. That unity combined is a little tiny example of what we could do on the old greater grand scheme of things. If we all became seed planters like Barbara mentions, all of us may not live to see the fruits of our labor. But what we leave behind will be those smooth paving stones that will help our future generations move into a future and see how far we can actually go as humanity, how we can take and transform this world that's not perfect at this point in the game into maybe quite literally a utopia one day, and that we all just glorify our Creator by our actions and our words, and we show what the power of love is truly capable of. So with that said, which one of you ladies want to go first here?
Well, I want to say something real quick. And you know, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, when you come in, I want you to bring me whatever medications you're taking. So I brought my respiratory pills there. My respiratory pills are made up of mullein, skullcap, lobelia, and a couple of other things. I also brought in my monolaurin, which is a natural supplement that gets rid of viruses and bacteria in the body. So I gave them to the doctor, and you know what he said? He looked at the respiratory thing, and he says, I don't know what this is. And then he looked at the monolaurin, and he said, well, I don't know what this is either. So that should tell you right there that this doctor had no idea what health really was. I'm just saying, you know?
Wow.
Maybe he wants to be educated. Red pill him, sis.
Yeah. I tried, but not to very much success when I tried to tell them about hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Most folks don't even know what it's when you say that hyperbaric oxygen treatment, it sounds scientific and way beyond most folks' education, but you know, it's not that, it's not rocket science. You have to have oxygen to breathe. Your body needs oxygen. We use water, which is oxygen and hydrogen, to do a task, and that water molecule is the most healing molecule on the planet. And so if we're drinking lots of water, it's refreshing the energy in our body. It's helping to energize us. But most folks would rather grab a soda for convenience than they would a bottle of fresh water. I don't get it.
Well, next thing you're going to say, Shaz, is going to be something silly like, we need the trees to produce the oxygen. I mean, come on.
Well,
really?
I would say, yeah. You know, we got a symbiotic relationship with plants. We breathe out their food and they give us food. Oxygen is food. Whether people want to recognize that or not, oxygen is food. It's energy for our body.
You heretic, you.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person now.
Well, you're just outside of the box, and you're a rogue,
yep.
And you're abandoned.
I need
you
to,
know, and plus you're conspiracy wackadoodle, so I think you're okay.
I need to be silenced.
No, you do not. I will not. So I just want to say, yeah, thank you, everybody, for being with us here today. It's always a pleasure for me to be on with you, Shaz, and my sister. And yeah, you know, we help each other, you know. We've all been in the position where we're ready to jump off the cliff, or we're falling or teetering, and one of us just comes in and, you know, offers some good words and reality, because we've lost touch with reality in those moments, I'm just going to say. And, you know, don't ever allow anyone to tell you that you are not significant. And don't ever allow anyone to say that it's just hopeless and you're helpless and just give up. Don't ever allow that, because that's not true. That's not reality. That's based on fear and false information. And I say that's a tactic that really, you know, we are learning more and more the patterns, the tactics that really wants to take away what we know to be true and the power and the abilities and the self, the sacred self, the wisdom within us. So that's why we're here. We're just sharing these, you know, these experiences with you. And as far as the Monolurin and the plant medicines, and I'm going to say that I've used myself as a test with this Monolurin and had amazing results with it, because I do research and I want to find out what are the natural ways that can help me. And I feel the energy of something. I don't just, you know, intellectually or just take it or get involved with it because somebody says do it. I sense the energy of what I'm going to use for myself, and I'm listening to my body, you know, the connectedness that my body may have with something that I'm going to use. So, yeah, and I've had very excellent results from that. It's kind of sad that doctor has no clue, but I'm not surprised, really, because that's the medical system. It's not the natural system. It's not the natural paths. It's not the homeopaths. It's not the system that connects with and knows nature or the healing in nature that has been given to us. Everything that we ever needed was created here outside our door, the medicine plants, and there they are. So yeah, numerous blessings to everybody, and thank you for being here, and we'll see you tomorrow for a Turtle and Crow Show. Dope show.
Wonderful. So what about you, Patty?
Well, I think that we have a lot going for us, especially the people in the chat and those of us here with the round table, Gregory, because we do realize that we're on the right track. There are many things that we can do. The main thing is that we keep doing what we can, when we can, and where we can. And to realize that we are valid, that everything we're about is real, that everything we're about has a purpose. And as long as we keep track of that, I think we're going to be all right. Maybe we never will change the world. Maybe that won't happen. But if we stay true to life, if we stay true to love, and if we stay true to each other, then I think we've done as much as we can possibly do. And it's okay. It's okay. Love to each and every one of you, and I thank you so very much for being here. And Shaziz, I thank you so much for doing this every Sunday. And hey, we'll see you tomorrow on Turtle and Crow Show.
I can't wait to hear the Turtle and Crow Show. Folks, it's been an honor, it's been a pleasure, and it humbles me every time we get together and we do what it is we do, because it seems to me like a miracle unfolding before our very eyes. I want to thank Buzz for putting poems in the chat room, sharing your heart and spirit with everybody. I want to thank everybody for all the kind words and all the laughter and family type of things that you see at People for People Radio Network. I just want to say thank you for everything. Because I tell you what, if it wasn't for all of you people out there inspiring us to continue to do these round tables, we wouldn't be here. And we'd be missing out on our opportunity to plant the fruits, the seeds that will eventually grow into the fruits that will solve some of the problems that we got in this world. Now, I honestly believe what we're doing is, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to, before we leave, Gregory had put another little poem in here
that I think
is very apropos. Yes. You are much more than you. I am much more than me. We are much more than us, more than we all can see, more than we all can sense, more than we all can know, much more than what we feel, much more than we all show. We are much more each day, much more because we grow, becoming more ourselves, as much more we find our flow. That's awesome, Gregory. You always put the right thing in at the right time. Love to you.
Isn't that cool how that works, Patty?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, folks, I think we got a good thing going on. If you think we got a good thing going on, please share this podcast. Rebroadcast it. Take the pieces that you like. Leave the ones you don't for others out there. Just share the message. Tell everybody to come visit People for People Radio Network and Shaziz Radio. Tell them we got some good ideas, and together we can sort it out and make our world a better place. One positive pebble at a time. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and thank you once again from the deepest, bottomest, most widest portion of my heart. Thank you very much. I love you all.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh, one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. Is there ever going to be any progress?
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, you call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're not so mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Survive the turbo! Always looking! Survive the turbo! And the Knights of the Round Table!